ready for the best in show.
Entertaining talk radio, broadcast on the internet. This is HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be.
Previously on Best in Show.
When you walk through a storm,
Freddy's a genius.
Keep your chin up high and don't be afraid of the dark. At the end of the storm is a golden sky and the sweet silver song of a lark. Walk on through the wind, walk on through the rain, though your dreams be tossed and blown.
Yo.
Walk on, walk on with hope in your heart, and you'll never walk alone. You'll never walk alone. Walk on. Your dreams be tossed and blown. Walk on, walk on, with hope in your heart, and you'll never walk alone.
Guys, so much. We really appreciate you coming out here. It's the 200th episode of Best in Show. We really appreciate you being there for us.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now my pleasure to introduce the best of the best, Best in Show.
Welcome!
And that's it. Good night, everybody. Bro, that was the second best performance since then. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Best in Show Radio. On Hear Us Talk, the Hear Us Talk Radio Network. Thing to do with your ears and the place to be. Welcome to the 201st episode of Best in Show Radio. The Textathon. Guys, get that text number ready. as we will be needing you to text us tonight. We need to get 750 texts or something bad is going to happen to someone, and I'm not sure who it is. Good evening, and welcome to Best in Show Radio. My name is Keith. Yes, I switched seats tonight because the guy that was sitting here tonight lost so much weight, we actually don't even know what happened to him. So I just decided to jump over into his seat because it's easier to see the guy sitting across from me. His name is Brian.
It's delightful to sit in this seat, actually. It's a whole different vantage point on the room. I kind
of
like it.
You're not knocking me out of my seat. Relax, buddy.
Well, you have this one.
Unless I get this one.
It's all right. We'll get rid of that guy. We don't really need him. Do we?
You know who we do need?
Who do we need?
That sexy fella over there. His name's Fred.
What's up, Keith? What's up, Bri?
Hello, Fred.
How are
you
boys doing?
Hey, you know what? You know what? Back it up. That was a little too Chris. Let me do it over. And with us as well tonight will be our friend Fred. Fred, how are you this evening?
Very good, Keith. Very good. How are you this evening?
I'm good. Thank you. And I'm joining Fred and
Brian. Just because he's not here, we don't have to, like, de-Chrisify the entire show. There can still be some Chris in here.
Speak for yourself. And then to the right of me, it's a longtime friend of mine. I think I've mentioned that in the past. His name is Robert Giggs.
What's going on, guys? I think we should start it over. All right.
You know, you're de-Keithifying the show. Yes, Chris will not be here tonight. So there you go. Was it a big secret? He's working some stuff out for us. He's on an important mission.
He hates us.
He hates us. I don't think there'll be any satellite uplink because the work he's doing for the show tonight is so important.
Horseman stuff?
Perhaps. We'll see.
I think it does involve a horse. Let me say that.
So you will have a Chris-free, Brian will have a Chris-free Best in Show tonight.
Finally.
Chris-free Thursdays.
Finally.
For Brian. And I would just like to say, first of all, that when I was all excited about, you know, being able to sit in a different seat. You know, you ever move furniture around? And, like, you get all excited because, like, you shift a chair to the other side.
It's like a whole different room.
It's like, yeah, it's like, wow, I just moved. Everything's great. So I was a little excited. And I can't say I have the energy level I would like, though, because I spent a good portion of the night waking up in terror. And waking up in terror, literally. And let me explain. Despite the fact that I got rid of my cable, some gentleman somewhere in the stratosphere was good enough to link up some episodes of a television show called True Blood. This is a show on the HBO network. It's the vampire show with little Anna Paquin.
She's not little anymore. She's a woman now. I'll tell you. I've been watching that show too.
Oh, do you? Yeah, and so
I've been forced to watch the show, I guess is the best way to say it. I can't. You voluntarily are watching that show.
Well, that's funny you said that because I put it off for a long time, and people were telling me at my job when I was still working at that job when it came out, you know, you have to watch this show, it's great. And I was just kind of like, yeah, it probably is. But I watched the first 45 minutes or the first half of episode one, and I just wasn't really that into it, you know. So it was kind of dull to me. So then my girlfriend kept telling me, yeah, come on, let's watch True Blood. So finally I said, all right, you know what, let me find it, I'll try to find it. So easily now, hooked bad, I watched,
really?
Starting two nights ago, I'm into the middle of season two now, which is I think where we are right now, so I'm about to run out and like be caught up with everybody else.
Oh, wow.
But
I don't know how many times can you do the vampire thing over? Like, all right, good with, you know, Interview with a Vampire. All right, I get it. They're classy. Then, what else? Dracula. You know, good film. You know, Gary Oldman. But how many vampire things can you go through? This Twilight thing,
Bela Lugosi. That wasn't Gary Oldman and Dracula.
They kind of got a cool twist on it, actually. The idea is that they're incorporating, they're outing. It's kind of like vaguely a metaphor for homosexuality. And they're outing vampires. And vampires are now being incorporated into our society. And they're, like, giving them medicine or different beverages that are fake blood so that they don't have to go out and kill people. And then different like levels of open-mindedness of the community is like injected in the society as a result of that.
And they come up against like, you know, fundamental Christians that want to, you know, ban them from being married and things like that.
Check this out. God hates fangs. Best joke of the whole show there.
Are they vampires that could go out in the daytime?
No, they cannot.
Oh, they can.
They cannot go out in the daytime.
Science. It's so, vampires. It's they true. Can't. It's daytime.
So, do they don't like garlic? Could they have like a nice, you know,
Dude, you know what? I'm not one of the vampires. Direct your questioning at one of them. I don't want to go into a review of the show here. But,
why not?
Well, I think the garlic thing is they addressed all of the popular myths about, you know, vampires one or another. I just don't want to ruin the viewing experience for anyone that is yet to see the show. But for the most part, yeah, they're still sleeping under boards at, you know, during the day and staying out all night.
You got to invite them into your house.
For them to come in?
That's right.
So, Keith, what about it got you hooked on it?
Just, I'm a sucker for any show that has any decent plot and any supernatural element that's not like a WB show.
Okay.
You know, like anything else like that I can take.
I think it's Alan Ball, the guy who did like 6 Feet Under and that, the Suburban movie, something or other. What the hell was
the Suburban movie?
Yeah, American Beauty. I'm sorry. That's what I was thinking.
Oh, okay. Is
that one?
Well, yeah, so.
It's all right.
So it's not a bad show. So last night I went to sleep, it was too late to keep going. It was an episode before the end of season one, and it ended with sort of like a thing being revealed and a cliffhanger, and I wanted to go to sleep because I was starting to fall asleep during it. Yeah, spoiler alert. If only they could go back in time and cover their ears, Brian. So I decided that, you know, it's probably too late to keep watching this. And then, like, I got so excited for the show that I was kind of like, well, now I'm kind of amped and I want to see it, but it's too late, so I'm just going to go to sleep. But I couldn't bring myself, like, to fall asleep because I just kept thinking about it. And slowly, as I started to fall asleep, that whole thing turned into, like, this weird sort of creepy, like, state of half-sleep that I was in. And now, it wasn't the fact of that it was, like, vampires or something, but this state of excitement and anticipation that I had sort of kind of quelled itself into this dark, creepy, and I'm sure the whole, you know, atmosphere of the show helped, the dark, creepy state that I was in, which proceeded 2 hours later to end, and as I was falling asleep, I kept seeing, like going into this sort of sleep paralysis thing where you start seeing things, and I was just like, I can't deal with this. But finally, I fall asleep, and I wake up 2 hours later with my girlfriend, like, shaking me to wake me up by the hands because I apparently I started screaming in the middle of the night.
Whoa.
Oh, my God, Michael! And Michael is not a character. Michael is not a character from True Blood.
What the? Do you know where it came from?
Well, I have a theory that's so twisted apart and odd, it probably isn't true. In my dream, I was sitting in my old apartment that I grew up in Brooklyn, and I'm sitting there watching
shoes.
I'm watching that apartment, yeah. And I'm watching TV, and there's nothing on the screen. There's just the only thing on the screen is the front of the building, like a camera image of the front of the building. It's like snow.
Lost Highway.
And I'm sitting. So exactly. Well, that's probably where that came from. So I'm sitting there watching it and like staring at it, and then all of a sudden it goes black and white. And the big revelation to me is, oh my God, I've seen this before. And it was basically the equivalent of when there's a big revelation in a movie or a TV show that you're watching, that oh my God feeling. This was basically like the dull version because the revelation was unexplained. But that just scared the hell out of me. It was the creepiest feeling that till right now still gives me chills when I think about it. I had a friend named Michael growing up there. I don't know if he was part of the dream and like I was yelling to him or something, but I don't recall him being in the dream at all, and I didn't even when I woke up. But I woke up screaming, oh my God, Michael.
Maybe you're on the bottom of the – he's up in the window. You're trying to get his attention. Like, is that how you usually called Michael from his house? He used to live in this building, apparently.
In a different building. And further in the project, he lived in a different building. But yeah, I don't know what it was.
If he's that deep, you got to yell loud. Then.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't believe a faggy HBO show gave you a nightmare.
And that's basically my whole point.
It like, made him emo.
Regardless of the dream, regardless of anything, I am a 35-year-old man that had night terrors and a nightmare because of a scary vampire show. That's where I'm at in my life right now.
Don't watch that new Zack and Cody show. They do have a Frankenstein on it, this new episode, Keith.
You know what? My girlfriend's daughter yesterday brought me up her Zack and Cody DVD. Because she knows I like the show.
Michael! Michael!
And I didn't watch it because I prefer to watch True Blood. I probably should have stuck with Zack and Cody. Absolutely. I might have screamed, Cody!
That was the same feeling that I got when I watched Michael Jackson's Thriller for the first time and had to go home and go to sleep.
Yeah, but you were 7.
But I was, exactly. But I was about 9 years old.
When I was 9 years old, I saw the first Friday the 13th movie. It scared the hell out of me. I couldn't sleep the whole night. And this is, I haven't felt that feeling. That, and there was a movie with Peter Fonda called Race with the Devil. Those two movies scared the hell out of me as a kid, and I was unable to get to sleep. I haven't had that feeling until now, but now I'm 35, and I'm sitting there. And it's not like thinking of, ooh, monsters from The Thing, but the weird place it put me in, I was actually scared to go back to sleep because I was like, I'm going to have a nightmare.
That's weird. It's not a particularly scary show. Like, it's not...
No, it's not at all.
It's not even creepy. I mean, it's just sort of, like, dramatic. Like, it's more...
There's dudes in makeup. I mean, come on. They've got eyeliner and powder on.
It's more of like, it's more of like a drama, you know, with a slight tinge of comedy. It's sort of soap opera. You just want to know what's happening next, and every once in a while, something fast will happen, and a loud noise happens, and there's nothing really gory about it or anything like
that. Yeah, no, there's not. And the thing that it gets a little gorier, but the thing that filled
me boring. Actually,
the thing that filled me. No, it's not a boring show.
All right, okay. Whatever you say, pal.
The thing that filled me with anticipation was not scary in the slightest. I mean, you know, like it was. I guess in a way it was, but like it wasn't like that scared me. It was just, but it was that feeling of anticipation that I just couldn't fall asleep after that. And I don't know, it might have been the fact that I drank 100 cups of coffee yesterday, too, and, like, I was, like, shaking in bed or something.
That could be it, too. But it made you feel like a kid all over again.
Yeah, it made me feel like a kid. It feel like, isn't that, like, have you been in that? Like, it's a weird position, like, where you suddenly feel like
I actually was in that position today. I was in the position
where... Oh, so you've seen True Blood.
No. I was in the position where I felt like a child.
He's got a friend named Michael.
I went to the Staten Island Mall, and I went suit shopping. Because that's where a redneck like me goes suit shopping at the Staten Island Mall.
It's scary.
So I went to Macy's, and you know how the guy comes over and he's, you know, the salesman, he's trying to sell you stuff, and he's fitting me with suits, and he's basically dressing me. But, you know, because when you go get a suit fitting, you're trying on different, you know, jackets, you're trying on different pants.
Right.
And the guy was
I dress myself there. What are you talking about?
I don't know about that. I've bought suit. The last suit I bought, the guy's like, well, not the pants, but he's like, all right, come on, like, here, take all this off, right? Put your arms out. You know what I mean? Like,
this is what this was like. Yeah, I stood up on like a block where it was like mirrors all around me. Like I felt like a bride. Like, you know, I was going to put on wedding dresses. And the guy comes out and he's bringing me all different sorts of suits. Friends and he's basically dressing me like a little child. Like he's holding the jacket for me. And I'm like, no one's ever held.
For the record, a side note, that guy that helped Fred today try things on is going to wake up screaming tonight, sweat stains.
But like, a person hasn't dressed me since I was, you know, 5-4 years old. I mean, I felt like a child again.
Okay.
Like he was holding my pants for me to put my pant leg in.
Oh, that's kind of weird. I thought you meant the sports coat. Like people hold your... I can see him holding the jacket for you to put your arms in or something, but the pants is a little...
It's a little weird. I know tailors. I know if you have like a private...
Did he zip your zipper up?
I know if they have like a private personal tailor that a lot of times they'll they'll get a little closer than normal. But,
especially when they're on the inseam.
But, like, dressing you, that's a little odd.
Yeah, it was odd.
Was this in his apartment? Did he say, I got the suits back at my place?
What's his name, Michael?
No, it was in Macy's, man. It was odd. I think he was working for tips, is what I think.
And so he thought the way to get good tips was to start grabbing at
you? Yeah,
did he grab at you?
No, he didn't grab me. He didn't do, you know what he did? He, like, measured the inseam, and you know how they have to, like,
slowly
go for, you know, the in-between, like... The area, like your balls and your thigh,
but he was
measuring all the way up. You know what I mean? He, you know, this was like a first date type of thing. He didn't, you know.
He wanted to make sure that you were okay with it before he went all the way.
Exactly. So he might have added another inch or something like that. But that was like the most intimate we got. We got a little intimate.
I'm always afraid they'll say something like, I don't know, if you were a real man, I think I would have felt something already.
Wow.
Yeah. Then I'm not buying the suit.
Did your girl go with you?
My girl was there, yeah. She was watching
this
whole thing.
She
was witnessing the whole thing. My wife just watched.
Did you tell us, hey, take notes, honey? Look, this is how a real woman should dress.
I was actually just like, I would get he would put the suit on me, I'd turn around, and she'd give me like the Greek thumbs up or thumbs down sign, you know, either good or bad. And I maybe got into about four or five suits. So he did this four or five times, and it was very
See, that's unusual.
Very strange.
Because usually you would pick the suit that you want, and then he would go in and start marking you up in your inseam and stuff for the tailoring that's going to happen.
Well, that's what
you
I did.
Do that with four different suits, unless you purchased four different suits.
Well, I picked like a couple of suits out.
Oh, right, okay.
You know, and different colors, different...
So did you feel like... Sorry.
Different cuts.
Did you feel like... Was it just odd? I feel like a little kid, or did you feel embarrassed like I feel like a little kid?
both.
Because I felt embarrassed. And the other problem is I my girlfriend was so scared for me screaming, "Oh my God, Michael," in her ear while she's trying to sleep. That, you know, because she said for a split second she thought something was happening, like in the house or something. You know what I mean?
She thought she was Michael.
My long lost boyfriend came back to take me back.
It's probably the same face my wife was giving me as the guy was measuring my inseam. It's that same face.
But did you, so yeah, because, and I felt like, and I felt bad. I don't want to fall asleep again and have more nightmares and do this to her again, you know? And that added more pressure, and I just slowly started feeling, I don't know. I don't know if it's diet, but something. You know, they say if you eat spicy food sometimes, you have nightmares, but I don't know if that's true.
Yeah, that doesn't sound right. I can't believe that would have an effect.
Speaking of being a kid, Pristine in the chat room saying, I think it was Pristine saying, yeah, he never had a wet dream. Don't feel funny, because I've never had a wet dream.
Dude,
either.
Me neither. I don't. Is a wet dream just waking up wet?
No. I think a wet dream, and I'm probably sound very silly if I'm wrong, but isn't it sort of like ejaculating in your sleep?
Yes, it's a nocturnal emission. It's when whether you know it or not, or you understand that it's happening or not, you come to fruition, for lack of a better word, while you're asleep. And it happens usually with like younger teenage.
For
males.
Lack of a better word, come to fruition was the best you could find.
What does it sound like, Freddie? That's it. That's very close. Except you're sleeping. That's scientifically, again, nocturnal emissions. And it usually happens at night.
But doesn't it dry up before you wake up?
I don't. It depends.
So how would you
I
know?
I think you wake up and know, right? Isn't it like you're woken up by the experience? Or if anyone has had a wet dream or wants to discuss them or has never had one, please share. 877-744-6405 is the hottest of all lines. Or if you want to tell us your dreams about Michael as well.
You don't necessarily wake up. It happens a lot more often to younger guys, especially guys who are not getting laid as often as maybe they should be. It's sort of the body's way of equalizing itself.
Well, doesn't it happen mostly when you first start puberty or first start ejaculating in the first place?
Right, and you haven't discovered, like, masturbation yet. This is your body saying, hey, it's my turn, you know.
Have you had one, Brian?
Yeah.
Yeah? And do you wake up with it all wet all over the place?
Sometimes. Sometimes you do. Sometimes you can sleep right through it. You can just work right through it. Oh, you wake up in the morning, and it's like, you know, it's no cleanup. It's delightful. It's like it happened right there in your dream. And
but when you do wake up, how is the mess more of a mess than you would do normally? Like,
no.
Say, is it the same amount that comes out?
Yeah, I guess maybe when I was a kid, I would wear like underwear or clothing when I was sleeping, so it wasn't. It was just I had to like throw away my underwear or whatever. That was the solution.
You would throw them away, or you put
them
in the hamper?
Yeah, I was living with my parents and stuff. I didn't want it to go into the hamper. That have like mom figure
really?
Out what's going on and what's this.
Just from semen, you were afraid of?
Yeah, I'm a real private guy. I don't want mom knowing about any of my.
But wouldn't that virtually
fluids.
Disappear at that point by the time it's kind of
maybe?
Like, unless there's an extra thorough investigation of your underwear going on.
I don't want to leave anything to chance. You know?
What are you afraid? She's going to blow your nose on your dirty underwear before she puts them into the dryer or something?
That would probably be my excuse. That's what I did. I woke up at night. I was too tired to leave the bed, Mom. I had to blow my nose.
My penis had to blow its nose.
Yeah. Well, was there any... You know what I always wondered? Is there any sort of like pleasure out of the whole thing? Or is it like...
Yeah.
Really?
It's when you're sleep. What the problem is when you're sleeping, when you're dreaming, you really have no control. So it's like it's over just like that.
Yeah.
Like you're dreaming about something, and it's just about to get started, and then it's over
Mr.
before
T
you know
pops
it. So
into your head or something like that.
No, it's not that. It's just it lasts maybe 3 seconds. You know.
Thinking? Are you dreaming about a sexual act?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's usually
so you,
how it's happening.
All right. So is it? So it's okay. Okay. I thought it was just like you know
control over it.
He's like waking up, like what the hell just happened? Oh, you know what I mean? Like wow, look, like that feeling that like it just happened.
No, it's like you're dreaming that you've seen your third grade teacher's boobs or something, and oh, and it's over. You know, that's the experience. It's really nothing to speak of.
I don't know why I'm even going this delving this deep into this.
Oh, Del, keep going. I got like 17 more questions.
But did that happen to you before masturbation suddenly produced product to try to
product.
Like
wow.
What happened first?
I don't even know if I want to answer that. First of all, I don't know what the answer is.
When did that make its first appearance?
I guess I really wasn't keeping track. I think that's when it happens. Like it doesn't happen before you can actually make stuff.
Because I'm going to be honest with you, the first time that ever happened to me,
I thought you said it didn't happen to you.
No, where I made it happen But the first time there was suddenly...
Filthy, disgusting bastard, you do that?
The first time... Shh, don't tell God. The first time there was actually a result, I think...
A result.
As old as I was and should have understood, I definitely think I was kind of like, what the hell just happened? And I was afraid that, like, there was something bad.
Like a puff of smoke came out?
You didn't know already at that point?
I did, but I don't know why, for some reason, I thought that I had some disease.
You broke something?
I thought I had some
disease.
Popped
the seal?
And that's what I'm curious for. I was not waiting for it. Looking back, I feel like I was probably semi-retarded at the time. I don't know why, because I couldn't have been that young to not know. But for some reason, I just feel like I felt like I instead have... It was some discharge of some disease, like some sexually transmitted disease that I was born with, I guess.
Oh, really?
Something like that. I don't know. It was odd.
Yeah. So what age was the last one you remember, Bri, happening?
It only happened to me, like, as a kid, like, when I was coming up. By the time I was in high school, I think. Like, I was a bit of a late bloomer as well. So, I mean, by the time I hit high school, I think it was over. Like, it happens early. It happens probably a little earlier than you're ready for.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, I guess you're never really going to be prepared for that.
Well, here's another question I don't know why I'm asking. God. Did it happen when was the last time? As an adult? Or?
No, I can't. I seriously can't remember the last
you
time.
You can't remember
the
last
time? As a kid.
Okay. I thought maybe all of a sudden as an adult, like you know, sometimes you get a pimple and you're like, wait, I'm not a teenager anymore. What's that?
Ugh.
So maybe it snuck up on you or something.
That's my kid experience. That's when I feel like I'm a child. Freaking, like...
Still got acne?
I'm 38.
Me too.
And I wake up and I look in the mirror and I got like zits on my back, and like I wake up, it's right at my cheek, and so why won't it end? Why is it not ending? It's awful.
Every time I get a pimple, I think like, why am I going to be 16 forever? I hate it.
The problem with pimples is when I gotta say I don't normally get them, and I never did have a lot of acne growing up anyway. But when I get them now, they're very rare, but they're always either right smack in the center of my nose or on my eyelid for some reason.
Oh, those are styes. Yeah, those are horrible. Those are horrifying because they're painful as hell and they take forever to go away.
Could you pop those?
I've never tried. I've wondered, and I just can't.
You can pop a
stye.
Yeah.
Okay, so are those the same as pimples?
Well, first of all, let me ask you this. Is the pimple on the inside of the lid or is it on the outside?
No, you know what?
It's
not really on my – no, it's on the outside. It's like upper on the outside.
Okay. You're describing.
It looks like a pimple, and it feels if you press it, it's like that aching pain. It's
sometimes you get a sty like on the edge of the eyelid, and sometimes you actually get it inside the lid, and it's just like something that you know, like white blood cells have developed under the skin due to some irritation from your like eye, and it's horrible because every time you move your eyeball, it like hurts. Ooh. And it's bad, and it's like filthy, like there's disease and filth inside there. You can't like. Expose your eye to it. So,
Brian, one more wet dream question. Did you share a bed with anybody? Like a bedroom? Did you share a bedroom with
I shared
your brothers?
Bedrooms with my brothers because we were poor. You know, embarrassingly enough, as a younger child, I actually had to share a bed with my brother.
Did you ever have a wet dream when you were in the bed with your brother?
By the time I was old enough to be, how did you put it, Keith? Producing things?
Producing product.
Right, okay. Producing product. I had my own bed. I was the top bunk in the bunk bed.
Okay, so no one could have... Saw this happen.
No one caught me, if that's what you're asking, no. Because I burned the evidence.
But you know my old age where I'm getting acne on my ass? I'm getting a lot of pimples on my ass.
I got that in my 20s.
I hate it.
At times, and I haven't in the longest time.
Really?
I think you get that from sweating a lot.
Well,
and
hello.
Hello, yeah.
I guess I get pimples on my ass every once in a while, but I don't even care. Like I don't if I got a pimple that's going to be hidden from 99.99% of the world, I don't really care that much.
Yeah, but sometimes they hurt.
Whatever.
The clothing presses. Yeah.
Pop it. Bang.
Weird.
But then that hurts. That then at least that open cut, and then your pants and your underwear are rubbing up against it. Oh, it's painful.
Not satisfying a little bit. Just pop it, get rid of it, and you know, kind of a delightful little pain for a while. You know, it's out.
Sometimes
the filth is out.
Sometimes I have so many. I look in the mirror and I want to like connect the dots. I want to play like a little connect the dots in my ass because I know it would make like a crazy pattern. Because sometimes I have like maybe like 13 or like 12 on each cheek.
Wow, really? Still
like 12 on each cheek. Like I think I counted like 24 pimples on my ass one time.
You got to be doing something to cause that, I would think. Right? I mean, I don't think like you.
I don't know. You know what happens too? It happens when I come out of the pool. The pool, I think, aggravates it. Because when I. I went in the pool once this summer, and when I came out, I counted 24 pimples.
Maybe they're bug bites.
I don't think they're bug bites, man. It's pretty freaking gross,
Maybe
dude.
They're nipples. Maybe you've got nipples on your ass. It's a new mutation. Gross.
I'd rather the pimple on the eye than the ass pimples.
Oh, no, you wouldn't. You have not had a pimple on your eye then. Oh, that's the worst place for it.
You're talking about a sty?
Yeah, like a sty. I've had a sty. It's the worst. It's the worst. And, yeah, you want to pop it, but you can't because your eye is essentially like a gelatinous fluid. There's no pressure. You can't, like, have
You'll
something
pop your
that
eye.
You can. Yeah, you can't, you can't, like, squeeze it. And when
it sounded
you do
like you tried to attempt this, though, no? Did you actually attempt to do it?
When I've had styes, I wanted to get rid of it immediately. And, yeah, you can sort of feel it coming on. And I've got, like, eye wash just in case it comes on. I can, like, wash it out. And, yeah.
The new styes. Apple eye wash is great for styes.
Styes are awful, man. But, I mean...
Another gross thing I'm getting as I get older, eye boogies. Like, I get, like, that white...
From, like sleeping or just in general during the day?
No, just in general, like, during the day, like, that white little crust will go in between your, you know, eye and your nose, and, like, getting that
during
crevice.
The day?
Yeah, it's just freaking gross, man.
Maybe you forgot to clean it out in the morning.
No, I always clean. I'm constantly cleaning it out. I don't know if there's a tear duct that's blocked or something, but I constantly get eye boogies.
For me, it's not eye boogers so much, but I do. I get watery and gelatinous sometimes. That's usually the first signal for me that it's time to go to sleep. Like, even if I can't go to sleep, that's my body saying I'm too tired, and it's time to like figure out a way to go to sleep.
Do you find it mostly when after you're smoking, maybe?
That happens too. Sometimes that brings it on as well.
I'm thinking that may be bringing it on.
Sure. But I'm constantly doing that.
Yeah,
disgusting.
But it's, you know what it is, honestly? Now I don't work.
Is that what's doing it?
No. I don't work. That's not helping. That's not hurting Fred, but I don't work right now. I'm waking up having nightmares from like scary movies, getting rides, which I have to a lot at times, you know what I mean? Like, when it's convenient, people be like, oh, no, I'll drive you. And I like to most of the time say, no, I'll take the bus. But sometimes people just be like, no, why? That's stupid, I'll pick you up.
So you're saying what, lack of exercise?
No. I'm talking going back to feeling like a little kid now at this point. Oh! It's just more and more like I'm getting right. I'm having nightmares waking up getting right. It's like,
you're a child. You're like a little child.
I feel like a child. I feel like I'm some sort of, like, weird, like, big child.
I know you do a lot of drinking in your life. When was the last time that you peed yourself? I'm just curious.
I have to honestly.
This
you know
a
what?
Joke that was not looking actually for a serious answer. You peed yourself.
No.
In some memorable part.
No, right. that's the problem. I've never actually peed myself. Unlike someone else at this table, that's
come
not.
Come on, I didn't pee myself. I got a little bit of pee when I was in the bathroom urinating in a toilet.
Oh, I've been drunk and missed and got it on myself.
No, I'm talking like, oop, I peed, sorry.
Oh, no.
I'm just sitting here and I peed.
But an amazing amount of people have said, like, oh, yeah, I peed in my bed. It's just like,
how many girls pee themselves when they, like, if they go on long trips and stuff and they're like, oh, or like when they're out drinking in bars and they don't go to the bathroom in the bars and on the way home, drunk girls pee themselves all the time.
Dude, what kind of chicks are you hanging out with?
A lot of drunk girls, I guess.
What the hell?
Talk about being a kid. I think Rob just dragged this rumor from second grade.
I don't know. I was throwing it as a joke at you. I really didn't think that there were adults in this world, female or otherwise, who still beat themselves.
Oh, I'm sure there's plenty.
Like,
I'm sure there's
who
plenty.
Aren't like whose lives aren't completely
who
addled with heroin or something. You know,
normal functional acceptable people that just walk around and have a job and
stop
do things
it.
And have a conversation, but then sometimes they accidentally pee themselves. I'm sure alcohol is normally involved. I know, and Chris is not here, but I know Chris can tell like three different stories of people that have had bowel movements on his couch in their pants.
He told me.
And just been like, oh man, I don't know what just happened within like months of each other. And I was just like, dude, what is wrong? Like, I'm not sitting on your couch anymore.
I don't know what just happened. Like, that is like an accident. Like, dude, you didn't see coming from a mile away.
He told me a story how he would go to, like, a music show, and he didn't want to get out of his place on the floor, so he just peed himself.
He peed himself in the front row.
Because he didn't want to go to the bathroom in the back of the club, so he peed himself.
Sounds like Chris.
Yeah, that's insane.
Like, a crowd of people, too. Like, like you're leaning up against someone in front of you.
Look,
like, you peed them. He didn't just pee himself, he peed him.
Who knows what bodily functions are going to do? You know what I mean? If something misfires at some point, and you know what? You lose control, that's one thing.
You might have nocturnal emission right there.
Exactly. But, like, intentionally pissing in your pants while you stand there watching a show. Like, and I think his reasoning was, because I was sweaty.
I was sweaty.
Yeah, but there's people that definitely are peeing themselves.
Well, I have I have to say, for me, it's been a relatively new experience for me. Maybe 2 or 3 years ago, I finally opened up to something that someone told me was a really interesting experience: peeing in the shower. I never could pee in the shower because it's just gross, you know. I just don't want urine in the place where I'm cleaning myself. And just one day, I had to give it a shot, you know. It was good. Everyone had always said it's great, and it really is magnificent. Peeing in the shower feels great. It's a newfound pleasure for me.
You feel like one of them fountains, like the water's coming in through your
ears. I don't know what it is, man. It's just, I can't believe I robbed myself of this experience for essentially my entire life. I'm just now coming to it. It's so good.
I'm going
to
agree with you, Bri. Love peeing in the shower. Guess who hates it? The person in my life.
The shower with.
Exactly. That's my
has to clean it up.
That's my problem with peeing in the shower, is that showers don't wash enough. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, showers don't have a big blast of water.
Yeah, you gotta do it before, before you wash your hair. Well, you don't have hair.
Before you wash your body to suds
it
up.
You gotta have the whole.
See, I'm even worse. I'm still kind of hung up on it. So I do it knowing that it's my turn to wash the bathtub. So, I'll do it and then I'll finish the shower. Like, I wash when it's my turn to wash the tub, I wash it while I'm showering. So I'll squeeze a pee in before I do the tub, and then I'll wash myself. You know?
Will you wash out like Comet or Ajax wash it, or you'll just rinse it out? Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
So you won't just pee in the shower, rinse it a little bit, and then walk away?
No.
Oh, you pee in your walls too?
No, but when I wash the shower, I wash the walls. Yeah, that's how I roll.
You gotta try peeing on the walls. Look straight ahead.
Does she know that you pee in the shower?
I told her the first time that I did it. And she's like, lots of guys do that. And I hated that argument, because women always think that just all guys are gross and all of them pee in the shower. And my argument was like, I've never peed in the shower. Well, I can't say that anymore. I understand why people do it.
Do you actually wait to pee in the shower? If you have to go to the bathroom, do you say, screw it, I'm going to shower, I'll just wait till they go then?
No. Like I said, I only do it if it's my turn to scrub the toilet. And I mean, it's a rare occasion now.
Let me do this scenario, Brian. You're about to take a shower. You know it's your turn to clean.
Delightful.
You realize you have to pee, and it's just like, well, I can do it here first and then get in the shower, or are you saving it?
Oh, no, I'm saving it. Not only am I saving it, but I'm like, I'm not going to take a shower yet because I don't have to pee. Like, I'll wait for a couple hours until it's time to pee, and then I'll take the shower.
Wow.
Like, I'm saving the shower up for the pee. Yeah.
It's not enjoyable.
It really is good.
It is. You know what it is? I'll tell you what it is. There's no ending. Like, whenever it stops, it stops. Like, there's no, pinching it off, shaking it out. There's no trying to finish something. It's just, until it just drains out.
See, I regretted telling my wife that I did pee in the shower, because I told her maybe a year or two ago, I think we had this conversation. And then the other day, I was, trying to get in some, sexy time. And I'm like, hey, babe, let's go take a bath. She goes, you pee in there.
So you got to clean it. You have to clean it after you do it. That's the problem. Because I'm a little kind of skeeved out by it, too. Like, that's why I'm not cleaning it for my girlfriend. I'm cleaning it for me. Because I don't want pee in my shower, basically. That's what it comes down to.
Did you ever, accidentally pee, on your pants down? And I'm not setting this up like I have a great story, but, at work or something? Or...
In much the same way that there was pee on my pants after that one notorious night that I got, or that day, that
notorious
morning,
Sunday morning
that I got drunk.
The Lord's Day.
Yeah. I'll have some splashbacks sometimes, especially when I'm drunk and I get too close to the urinal. It'll happen. And, black pants, not such a big deal, but khakis, you get the splash on there. You know what's worse than that? When you're not splashing urine on your khakis and you get the rinse from washing your hands on your khakis, and now you got to go out and explain, sorry, not urine. This right here is what you're seeing. That's soap and water.
Oh, I hate that. I don't even give that explanation when that happens.
You just pee. So everyone assumes that you're peeing yourself.
So it's going to come up anyway, because somebody's going to say, oh, you peed in your pants. Huh? Exactly. So it's just right then,
Hey, you want some of this?
Well, would you guys pee in other people's showers? Like, if you're staying at somebody's place, you won't? You wouldn't pee in the shower?
I'll pee in the ocean. I won't even pee in a pool. I'll pee, in an ocean, maybe a lake. Depends on how big it is.
I can't even pee in the ocean.
Oh, that's great,
good,
too.
Yeah.
Because that's cold water, and, you just, yeah. It's
I don't
a
even
little...
drop the shorts. I pee right through the shorts into the ocean.
I think that's part of the problem with it. I don't want to pee in the ocean, too, because I feel like other people are swimming through it.
They'll feel like a warm spot,
Yeah, but, I don't want to through my own. I feel like it's just going to be, no matter what, I'm going to have urine-caked bathing suit. No matter what. Urine and salt water.
Yeah, but I mean, it's water. If you're in, I mean, I suppose if you pee in your bathing suit and then run out of the ocean really quickly, there's a possible pee residue.
The thing is, you're underwater anyway, so why can't you just pull your pants down so you're exposing your penis to the water?
I don't need to.
And go to the bathroom and then pull the pants up so you're not infecting.
That's the thing. I'm peeing right into the shorts, and then it's like my shorts are getting washed in the natural water of the ocean. I don't need to do any work. I mean, if I'd go to the bathroom and pee if I had to take my shorts off.
I actually have a water penis sunburn story.
What?
Yeah. I was in the Bahamas on vacation, and they have these swim-up bars, and they have these bar stools going around the swim-up bars. So I'm sitting in one of these bar stools.
Those are pools.
And
You're peeing in pools.
Yeah, no, I didn't pee. I'm not talking about pee. I didn't say pee. So I'm sitting on this I'm sitting on this bar stool. And my thighs to my top of my legs are half in the water, half out. Like, it's really dependent. It's, like, right there level with the water. And I was sitting there for, I don't know, about 6 hours in the sun. And I guess my bathing suit doesn't have any UV protection somehow. And I wound up having sunburned on the old...
What?
Yep.
That doesn't happen. Yes, you get a sunburn through your clothing?
Yeah. It was, like, a yellow bathing suit. And it was I had sun beating down on me, and I guess with the water reflection and all.
Are you sure it wasn't herpes?
No, this was sunburn. It was baked on top.
When you woke up in the morning, did it hurt? When it was all
it hurt that night. Pretty much that night. I mean, it was like burnt.
Was it hot and then cold again, and hot?
Keep in mind, I was on a vacation. I was like disabled.
You were using it.
I was like disabled. No, it was right in the beginning. It was like the first day. I was out of commission,
and you couldn't use it.
Man, it sucked.
You got Sunday.
Yeah, I got something.
Oh, wow, man. That is out of control. That would hurt as like hell every time you got erect.
Happened through a
joining us on the painfulest of all lines. Who's this?
This is Ken from New Jersey. How you guys doing?
Hey, Ken, how are you?
What's up, Ken?
You're talking about urination, and here I am. I can't think of anything that I've peed in that I didn't enjoy, except for my bed. I've peed in coffee cups, sinks. Toilets, pools, lakes, oceans, rivers, streams, the back of a warehouse, cardboard compactors.
Hey, Ken.
My girlfriend's bedroom.
Ooh. What? Did you ever pee in a girl?
Oh, come on.
Never did that.
By accident?
I imagine it'd be great. If peeing in a venti Starbucks cup is good, why wouldn't that be good?
See, I don't know how peeing in a venti Starbucks cup would be good either, because there's always... Like, first of all, you're probably filling a venti Starbucks cup up at least once, if not twice. Or three times over. Yeah.
Twice.
Exactly. So what do you do? How is that fun? Because you're pinching it off. Now you're squeezing the thing.
No. I'm pinching it off. Yeah, okay, that's right. But I'm definitely not overflowing because I'm employing the thumb technique. The minute my thumb starts to get wet as it's clamped inside the cup, I know it's time to dump and repeat.
Wow. So you're driving, clearly, when this is happening.
Of course.
Because usually if I'm peeing in a coffee cup, I'm pulled over, I guess. Is really. I don't need the thumb. I can use my eyeballs to figure that out.
Well, I kind of feel weird doing it in the daytime. So mostly it's at night. Like, in the day, you know, businesses are open and you can do all that. But at nighttime, you're on a highway. Why not pee in a cup? And honestly, you could probably get sympathy from a cop who just thinks you're pathetic if you happen to be speeding. You just point at the cup and say, I really had to go. I couldn't hold it. I had to go in this cup.
Now, Ken, would you, we're going to ask the same question we asked Brian. If you feel that you have a strong pee coming on and you're kind of almost home, but you still got about another 15, 20 minutes out, well, not even 15, just say another 10 minutes away, would you still go for it?
At first, Rob... I'm not going to lie. I would hold it. But after unlocking a world where I could pee anywhere after having consumed a caffeinated beverage, why would I hold it? I can do this who knows how many times. I can use this cup for at least 3 road pisses in one trip.
Are you going
to... I'm not going to reuse it the next day.
Maybe you could bring that cup to the Labor Day event.
Oh, no, please.
I'm not
going to
pee before an audience.
No, but somebody can maybe, have a beverage out of it.
Ah, come on.
Well, I understand where you're going with that, but I don't know that...
you don't want to give your cup up?
I don't think he wants to do that.
He's pee shy. He's pee shy.
But Brian, why are you out of your mind? Because you say that you feel guilty peeing in a pool?
Yeah.
Or through the bathing suit?
No, through the bathing suit I'm fine with, just not in a pool. It pulls like it's too small. I'm now. I can understand an ocean or a fairly large lake.
A toilet's small.
That's the toilet's flushing away and going into the ocean. Okay, so I'm not polluting.
Okay. You're just cutting out the middleman at this point.
Yeah, exactly. With a pool, I'm actually polluting a relatively large, but in my mind, not large enough sample of water that other people are now going to be in.
Okay, I just proved to you that I can urinate 40 ounces by filling a venti. By the way, that's Italian for 20. Twice, right?
Right.
40 ounces. A pool is like 20,000 gallons.
Yeah.
That's like a thimble in a, it's nothing.
That's too much for me.
It's nothing. And there's a filtration system. It's like you're peeing in a stagnant mosquito pond.
But can a thimble... A thimble
of chlorine, there's filtration.
A thimble's worth of pee in a gallon of my water is too much. I think that's too much.
It's not that ratio, obviously.
So what is it? A thimble to a water cooler? Let's say a water cooler.
Whoever wants to do the math, let's say it's 40 ounces into however many ounces in 20,000 gallons.
All right, let me get that.
Well, let me ask you something, Ken. If you say you're hanging out. You're hanging out with five buddies, and they're like, everyone's going to go in the pool, and they're all just kind of like, or even two of them are just kind of like, oh, hold on, I have to pee first, and then I'm just, oh, let's do it right here. So they stand there, and they urinate into the pool in front of you. Are you going to jump into that pool next?
Wait, are they arcing it in like a fountain, or are they going in the water like everybody else?
They're standing above the pool, and they're peeing into it.
You know that they've just done this.
They've broken the rules, pool party over.
So
everybody,
why is that?
If you have to urinate, you better at least walk down that ladder or cannonball in, because you can't do that. First of all, it's indecent to do that. I mean, it's like a crime everybody commits, but you all get away with. Maybe passing on the right, something like that. It's akin to that. A harmless little white lie. That's peeing in the pool.
So if you're aware they've peed in the pool, it's okay with you?
I assume everybody has. I just don't want somebody making a big display of it standing on the diving board saying, hey, look at what I drank.
Telling you don't buy beer, you rent it.
Yeah, but then you don't jump into the pool after you see someone urinate from above into it. But that's the same thing. I mean, why does that bother you, but yet just climbing into the pool and peeing doesn't, apparently?
The human has needs, Brian, and I'm more sympathetic to the needs of a decent human who's willing to pee on the fly than someone who's just going to pee right in front of a barbecue.
I've never known a situation being in a pool, hanging out in a house, where you really just can't make it in the house to the bathroom to pee.
Or turn around and pee in the grass 5 feet away from the pool, or the tree down the street, or your friend.
If you're outside of the pool in, like, street clothes and you go in the pool to urinate, okay, you're kind of a jerk. But if you're already in the pool, you're already there. What are you going to drip through the house with your wet clothes? I mean, we used to belong to a beach in my town, which is near a lake. And we would go to that lake, and my mom would tell me to go, when I had to pee, go walk up to the bathroom, which is up a hill. It's like a quarter mile up the hill in the woods, and there's all daddy long-leg spiders in there. I did it once in my life. Once. And then every other time, right in the lake.
The
I don't know why
toilet.
Anybody would.
Exactly.
It is the hugest toilet.
See, like I'm saying, I'll use the woods, I'll use the lake, I'll use any of that, but you put me in a pool and it might be I'm afraid of that like mythical little urban legend blue dye.
The purple dye.
Like I'm going to pee and I'm going to be surrounded by this like swarm of purple mist that's going to expose me as the pool peer.
You know what, Brian? I'm not afraid of your chemical threats. First of all, let me tell you something. You're going to go pee in the woods. A police officer sees you doing that, probably not going to be too happy.
No, definitely
peeing
not.
On the street, peeing in the yard.
Indecent.
However, you tell a cop, hey, I just peed while I was in the pool. He's going to just, like, not even say anything to you.
Well, if it's his pool.
Might even give you nuts. He might even bump nuts with you.
Are you guys telling me that there is, like, an alarm system that, like, when somebody pees in the pool, it'll turn purple, like, right in your pants,
no.
and it'll come out?
That's how pool owners keep kids from peeing in the pool, because they tell them, you don't want to do it because I use a special little chlorine that senses
but
urine.
But that's real, or is that just a threat?
Only if you stand in the mirror and circle around three times and say Bloody Mary does that happen.
It's always, like, a friend of a friend who's experienced. It's never you, what I'm saying?
The a whole idea, though, to tell kids, oh, you watch out, it'll turn a color. Isn't that kind of flawed? Don't kids want to turn things color?
Exactly.
Like, I think you tell a kid that, every kid is going to be like, oh, my God, I'm totally going to lose in this school.
Yeah.
It turns a rainbow.
They're going to be determined if they can't do it, they're going to get all their friends to come to it.
I'm a Care Bear.
And they'll bring Hi-C in with them.
Just to make it happen.
You should.
If I'm a parent and there's, like, a purple mist around my kid in the pool, I'm handing that kid his ass. Like, I'm definitely, I guess that's what would keep a kid from doing it, having your mom and dad know that you pissed yourself inside of a pool. Well, or pissed yourself in public, really.
If I owned a pool, I would tell a kid, if you pee in my pool, all the water's going to get sucked up through your penis, and there's going to be no water left in the pool. Then a kid won't pee in your pool. You
that's
know?
The scam.
Okay, having an empty pool is worse than having 20,000 gallons in your system to a kid.
Right? Yeah, that's the scary part.
I won't be able to swim.
What if somebody...
Walking and, you know, sleeping in a bed, you know, that's not so good, but the pool's empty.
What if you know somebody ejaculated in the pool?
Aye.
Oh, man.
Whether they were sleeping or awake or not.
It's like a jellyfish in there.
Yeah, you think it would be a floater, right? That wouldn't go so well. Like, you couldn't sleep that high.
Hotel bed rules apply. Basically, if you're willing to sleep on a hotel bed, you may as well just not worry about a pool. You have to assume that every human fluid has been secreted into that liquid.
Yeah.
I mean, then you'll live a much better life. Granted, you will have been spooged on and bled on and all these other things. But you would have had one of the best summers because you did it all without inhibition.
You know, I don't mean to like come across like one of your radio cohorts, a germ freak, but I am a little skeeved out about the possibilities of all kinds of different bodily fluids coming in contact with me because I'm forced to now sleep in a hotel room. Yeah, I don't like that either. I usually bring some sort of like full body pajamas that I'm going to sleep in. It's not comfortable, but at least like I feel like I'm protected.
Well, Brian, I'm glad you bring that up because speaking of said germ freak, not to wander away too much, but Tuesday night, this past Tuesday, on the DJ New Style program, said germ freak apparently launched, and I was having sound card problems at the time. I was trying to fix it, so like I got in too late. But apparently, well, not apparently, because I heard the replay, launched an assault at me, Keith, the most honest guy in the world, and apparently accusing me, Keith, of cheating at a Facebook game called Scramble.
He peed in your pool.
And
he peed in your virtual pool.
Dropped the hammer. He actually thinks he exposed your whole operation for having a good score. Whether you are or not, he did kind of sully your name a little bit.
He did.
No one's going to think of you to be that fresh-faced, honest, angel-faced kid.
And the thing is, he mentioned some website he was going to pay to see the cheats. I will admit this much. I do know how to cheat at a game called Scramble. And I also know how to prove if somebody is cheating at Scramble, as long as you know when they're playing. And I'm not going to reveal that. But because my girlfriend is so good at Scramble and beats me constantly, I've slowly had to get better and better and figure out how to play. And I figured it out to the point where I'm far from being a brilliant Scramble player, but I think that I don't think my name should be sullied like that. So this is what I'm thinking. I don't know if this could work. I don't know how this could work. But I'm thinking we're all going to be gathered someplace soon. We're all going to be gathered September 5th at the second annual Hear Us Talk Labor Day.
Is it the 5th?
Barbecue event. Right? I hope it is. I'm almost positive it's Saturday, September 5th at Sweet and Vicious at 5 Spring Street in New York City. I would like if we could work out some sort of way for me to have a live battle against said germ freak at the game of Scramble.
It has to happen. It has to happen.
Could you put it on video screen?
No, there's no video.
Like in the place? So like on a TV? Could somebody set up a monitor where everyone could see? How are you going to do it?
He could turn his head and look at the words.
Hey, I got an idea. Why don't you just bring a Scrabble board to the place?
Different game.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. And
It's more like Boggle, Brian.
Bring a Boggle board.
It's a three-minute contest that maybe we could set to 5. You know what? I'll let him accept the challenge. I don't know whether he'll want to or not. Maybe if he'll be around tonight. But I am laying that challenge down, that I am challenging said germ freak to a game of Scramble live.
Live. You should do it, absolutely, because he's very tough in text, and when you're not around, when you're having sound card issues, he's very tough to level charges and accusations and call you a cheat and a scoundrel and a rotten, overall terrible man, and I think this has gone on far too long. I think I'm going to accept on behalf of Germ Freak this challenge, Keith versus Frank in Scramble. And I think we need people watching both sides because, honestly, Keith, you might be cheating. 215 is ridiculous.
Whoa.
I will be.
Whoa.
I will be. I know someone that has 300. I know that guy's cheating.
Not on this show, mister. You will not sully his name. Okay, yeah, he's probably cheating.
Well, how do you cheat? You look at a dictionary or something?
I'm not going to tell you. I will say this much. I have never cheated.
Did you fail a fourth grade spelling test on the show once or something?
Math. First grade math. That's what it was.
But I can tell you that I did
a different show.
I did figure out how to cheat, but I've never cheated at Scramble, and I will prove it. And I don't want to guarantee a score, but I will prove that I will at least beat Mr. Frank Germ.
What about the consequences? What happens if you lose to Germ Freak?
Will you double his score? How about that? Ooh.
Double his score?
Just lose. What if he beats you? What do you do? Besides, like, cower in defeat.
The cup.
No. You drink ketchup out of Ken's pee cup.
No, that would I would drink the pee cup before I drink the ketchup. I don't know. Let's not sit in silence and try to work this out. I'm sure if there's some reasonable agreement we can reach, especially
take it to Bronze fans and come up with something.
Ken, does that? Frank agree to hurt himself in some way if he loses physically?
I can't agree on to that end, but you know what? Why not? I'm feeling very spirited.
Yeah, right. Yes.
So Germ Freak will set himself on fire if he does not triple my score.
Limb removal, whatever you want. Open him up. Open him. Look for words in there.
As long as there's no blood or sperm involved, I think that's
what if the loser has to lick Chris's sweaty stomach? Oh. You see how confident I am
he's
that I'm going to win this.
He's got to wear Fred's shirt. Frank's got to wear Fred's shirt.
He'll never do it.
Well,
I'm excited about
Fred. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to it, guys. I'll see you there. Have a good show. Thank you again. And Brian, pee anywhere. Thank you.
Thank you, Ken.
Thank you, Ken.
Brian, pee right now. Just that, yeah, I don't know. But the peeing through the thing, the stickiness of peeing, of coming home from like the beach and having been in the water anyway.
Yeah, but the pee's not going to be on you. The ocean is going to be on you. The sand, the uncomfortable stuff. The pee is gone from your person and your clothing 3 seconds after it's been ejaculated from your system.
I picked up a ketchup bottle with a paper towel today because it had been open already. And I moved it from one cabinet to another, and I went and washed my hands like four times.
Yeah, but this
did
is
you
pee.
Really?
This is pee.
I think if I peed on my hand, I would just rinse it off with water and be fine with it.
And the ketchup you have to boil in your hand.
Just all sticky and gross. Ugh, don't even get me started.
He peed on the ketchup bottle so there wouldn't be as much ketchup on it. That's what it was.
I think we've been down that ketchup road many times. We don't need to go into it again. But
I guess I brought the whole... I'm sorry to have taken this down the wrong road. I was just bringing up the pee things because that's the closest thing to kids that I could think of. The only thing that I can think of what makes me feel like a kid is happy things. Like, you feel as if you're a child when you're scared or when apparently you're urinating yourself or something. I feel like a kid when I'm happy. Like, the last time I talked about going down the Alpine slide a couple months ago. That's me feeling like a kid. And I'm whipped into a frenzy, and I can barely keep myself contained. I can't complete sentences. That's how happy I am. That's how I felt like. That was great.
I have a crazy pee story that I experienced this weekend, actually. That it was actually... I'm just going to go into this now because it... I went to a bachelor party. And I probably had the manliest weekend I've ever had in my life. So my friend Doug, he's getting married, and he wanted to shoot guns for his bachelor party.
Where?
Pennsylvania, I guess. So we went up to Pennsylvania. Me and you know ten other dudes.
You guess? Yeah. We were somewhere, guys. Yeah, we were somewhere. I got in a car. I got out of a car.
No, it was in Pennsylvania, I think. And. So it was 10 other dudes, and we get to this range, and it's this open range where you just shoot guns, and they have every sort of gun. and I was super scared to shoot at first. I walked out of the car as I heard the gunshots. I said, I'm not doing this.
Well, last
no
week,
way I'm doing this.
Didn't you say last week one of the things, oh, not maybe not last week, but when we were discussing things we can't, okay, maybe it was Brian, I hear him yell that never shot a gun.
Yes.
I've always wanted to feel the sensation, if you want to call it that, of firing a gun.
Killing a human with it?
I shot a gun when I was 9 years old. It was a .22 rifle, and my grandfather was next to me trying to tell me how to shoot it. But the way he tries to tell you how to shoot it is by yelling at you. So I was just getting yelled at by my grandfather yes. when I was 9 years old. So like I didn't want to even touch a gun. Guns would just freak me out.
Stop shooting at your grandmother.
Yeah. I shot almost every gun in the place. It was amazing.
At the
gun range.
Nice.
So then, and, you know, then we go to the strip joint.
It was a handgun, I imagine, right? You
handguns,
have pistols.
Sniper rifles, AK-47.
Sniper rifle, how freaking awesome would that be?
Oh, my God.
So then we go to the strip joint, and that's the whole thing. But then we get home, and we go in, go to sleep in the motel room. And we have two motel rooms that are attached. And,
oh, boy.
I'm sleeping.
Wait, did you say you went to somebody's wedding this weekend?
No, it was a bachelor party.
Oh, okay.
So we
guns at the wedding.
So we shot guns, went to the strip joint, and then I'm sleeping in the hotel room, and each guy has, like, a bed, and there's, like, cots there, so everybody's sleeping on the bed, and, like, about 4 a.m., I wake up to someone going, hey, Charlie, you're peeing on my glasses. You're peeing on my glasses. So I go, what is going on? So I look up, and I see my brother, who is sleepwalking, peeing on the nightstand in between two guys. Like, each guy is on a bed, on a separate bed, and there's a nightstand in between the bed. He's leaning on the lamp, peeing on top of the nightstand, all over, like, the Bible and the telephone. Nice. And which all, every, like, the two dudes that are, like, sleeping on the beds are like, hey, Charlie, wake up. Wake up. You're peeing all over the place. And my brother is just waving them off like he's in, like, a sleepwalking trance. And he just, like, finishes peeing, puts his ween back in his pants and just falls asleep on one of the dude's beds. And the other guy gets up and is like, oh, come on. And he has to go over to my bed and sleep on my bed. So now I'm sharing a bed with a dude because my brother just peed all over the hotel room.
You're not your brother's keeper, friend.
Dude, it was crazy. Like, he really, really, is nuts.
Yeah, that's insane. That's I mean, I know sleepwalking, but that's like sitcom sleepwalking. Like, I didn't know people really do stuff. Has your brother's always, like, had a sleepwalking thing, or...?
You know what? Not that I knew of, but after seeing that...
I don't know about your brother. I think he might have been thinking, oh, man, wait till tonight.
No, because one time, me and my brother both have a story of waking up as little kids and seeing my father pee in my hamper. Like, all drunk or all, like, sleepwalking. So he has, like, a sleepwalking kind of drunk thing, too. So, the next day, when my brother wakes up, I go, Charlie, you pulled the dad last night. And he goes, what? What do you mean I pulled the dad? I said, you just peed all over this nightstand over here. He's like, are you kidding me, really? I go, yeah. He goes, oh, all right, it's okay. Don't worry.
Whatever. I slept whatever. Through it. As long as I slept through it, it's fine. Is that what that dream meant?
All right, so you know what? We've asked about replacing pants, replacing quilts and stuff. Brian, somebody pees on your glasses. Do you replace them?
Oh, jeez. No. I wash them off
yeah,
and
this
I put them right back on my head.
The kid did the same thing. He had
I don't
splatter.
Even soap wash. I go to the sink and I rinse them off. And I take like toilet paper and I take the water off. And it goes right back on the head. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I got, you know, they're my glasses. I'm not going to freaking replace them because they got wet with someone else's filth. Whatever.
Talk about being put out. I don't think I could get over that. I honestly don't. And didn't both guys get splashed, I would think?
Like, though luckily he was peeing, like, on, like, directly onto the nightstand, so they might have gotten a little splatter. I don't know, because I'm sure if somebody got peed on, somebody would have, like, punched somebody. Do you know what I mean? Or pushed somebody out of the way. Because all I was hearing, hey, chop! You're peeing on my glass. Cha, cha, cha. And then everyone was up, and then we
can't
just
wake him up.
You don't want to wake him up because he'll start peeing
crazy.
All over the place. Yeah,
exactly. He starts spraying the beds and
exactly.
like the maids.
He was drinking, right? I'm assuming you guys were drinking a lot. This was probably not a normal just wake up at 3 in the morning and pee. This has to be some built-up alcohol, full blast, you know.
Dude, I know exactly what happened because it's happened to me. I've been known to sleep pee every once in a while.
No,
oh,
really?
Yeah. And it usually happens when you're really, really loaded and you're in a slightly unfamiliar place. And it's almost like you're you're semi-conscious when it's happening, but like whatever, even if someone tries to wake you up, you still kind of are asleep. And the last time it happened to me is when my girlfriend and I didn't live together. I was sleeping at her apartment, and she described to me what happened afterwards, and I pieced together exactly what was in my head when it was happening at the time. Apparently, she woke up, and I was standing in front of her bed over near the television, clearly getting ready to urinate. Like, my pants were just kind of propped down like underneath, like, right around my ass, and I was kind of, you know, I was gripping it, ready to go. And with, like, bullet accuracy, she jumped out of the bed, she grabbed, like, a bucket of some sort, and she held it in front of me, because I was just going to pee on her floor next to her television. So she caught my urine in the bucket, and I filled up the large part of the bucket, as a matter of fact, and she's trying to talk to me, and she said I was talking gibberish. And it was kind of like, I was emphasizing and speaking as if I was carrying on a conversation with real sentences, but they were words, you know?
Were you blabbing who killed Laura Palmer?
I was like, Vincent Banga digga blah, or whatever, you know?
My brother's the same way. He was like, nah. You're like shaking his hand, like, don't worry about it. Like, he's like waving us off, like he's peeing all over the place.
Well, it hit me what happened. I woke up thinking I was in my own apartment, and I went to where I knew my bathroom was, which was get up off out of the bed and walk 5 steps to where the bathroom is and hang a right. And she said that I actually turned into the corner and kept walking into the wall for a couple feet. And then that's where I decided to, like, drop trow and let it go. And that's all it is. He somehow in his head had it figured out that he was peeing in his own personal toilet at home, and it happened to be the nightstand.
That's exactly what happened.
That's crazy to me.
Happens.
But Brian, I think the craziest thing is that you acted in, and granted, sleepwalking is one thing, but you thought it was insane that people still pee themselves before, but you just pee in people's TVs.
I wasn't responsible for my own actions. I was asleep. I might as well have been dreaming. I thought I was at home peeing in my toilet.
Neither is the person who accidentally peed himself. Not responsible either.
It's true. Yeah, and that can't be right. The first time you sleep peed, Bri.
I'm sure
it's the first time.
When she told me that story, I immediately flashed back to a moment when I was a child, and I woke myself up, and I was peeing in the garbage in, like, my childhood home. And I didn't know how that happened. That's when I realized it happened.
Wait, you woke yourself up?
I woke myself up, and I was standing in front of my garbage peeing into it.
Whoa.
I don't know how I got there, but
And how
happened.
Was that? Oh, wow.
It freaked me out, and I went back to bed, and I've always remembered that ever since. But my brothers are sleepwalking all the time, and I guess if you're a guy sleepwalking, peeing is usually a large part of it. If you're waking up in the middle of the night, it's because you got to pee, basically.
Yeah.
And, you know, your subconscious just isn't waking you
but
up.
But that just it. Wakes me up. Like, the sensation just wakes me up. I don't know what it is about. Like, the sensation is not a...
You're not drunk enough.
Yeah.
You got to be more drunk and you won't wake up.
Ever go back to sleep? And ever try to go back to sleep and the pain is just too much and you have to get up?
Yeah. The pain?
Totally. The pain is just having to urinate up, yeah. So much. It's like that you're getting that, like, lower abdomen pain.
Oh, no.
So
I pee. If I feel like I got to pee, I'll wake up and go pee. Screw that.
On the wettest of all lines, who's this?
Hey, this is Chaz.
Charlie!
Oh, boy.
Guilty!
Duck and cover.
Charles, so we're talking about, like, Brian's talking about how he has this problem where he sleep pees.
I've been there, Charlie.
He sleep what?
He sleep pees. Like, when he's drunk enough and he needs to pee and he's not in a familiar place, he just pisses all over the place.
No, I head to where I think my home bathroom is. And I'm thinking, can you orient yourself based on where you were sleeping in the hotel and the relative location of the nightstand? Is that generally located where your toilet is in your current apartment?
No, that's where my nightstand is in my apartment.
Do you often pee in your own nightstand?
No, never, actually, never.
He's just crazy. I'm sorry.
I get that. I definitely can understand that. I think this was an exceptional night. Like, it just happened to be, you know, a long day of drinking, and was just, like, if I didn't stand up, I probably would have peed in the bed.
Oh, so it just so happened that you made it. You made it up. Standing up was enough for you, and forget about the bathroom. That's it.
Basically, I think.
You
anyway,
won at that point.
Like, it was a very long night, and a great night, I might add.
Longer for some of your friends.
Well, you know.
The intriguing part, though, Charlie, is that Fred said that the next day he told you, and you were like, oh, no, really? And then you were kind of just like, nah, whatever. I think I would have...
What's done is done. What's done is done.
I wish I could be like that. I wish I could be like that, because I would feel so bad that would stick with me for so long. It would be like the most embarrassing thing in the world, and I wish I could have that's what's done is done attitude, you know?
Well, you would be cleaning it up, Keith?
Here's the difference. Here's the difference. There was no hard liquor involved. So I do have a pretty good recollection of the entire night. But I'm attributing it to I probably didn't use the bathroom before I went to bed. If I would have took a leak before I fell asleep, it probably wouldn't have happened.
You can't be bothered with that.
You've
just been shooting guns. You got hookers and strippers that you've been
strippers.
Dealing with.
Strippers.
What are we talking? That's illegal, number one.
Exactly.
And there was none of that.
I thought you said it was a bachelor party.
Establishment.
I thought you said it was a bachelor party. Am I wrong about what's...
Well, because Charlie wound up peeing on the groom's glasses. Is the groom still bummed at you or no?
No. Please. He had it coming.
That's what he gets for getting married. He's just explaining in his own way.
He took his glasses the next morning and showed them up to like the window, and you could see there was like a liquid residue all over the lenses.
Still,
like,
just water.
Stop. It was all alcohol and it was all beer. There was no urine in that.
He didn't wash it off though. He washed it off and it was fine. That's right.
He probably wiped it off on his shirt.
He licked it off.
Did you also pee on the shirt? Because that would be kind of counterproductive.
And Charlie, you had no recollection of even doing it, like Brian said.
No, man, no way. I wouldn't have did that in my right. Well, maybe I would have, but.
Yeah, I had to be told that I sleep peed as well. I didn't. Not only did I not believe it, and I was like outright calling my girlfriend who was catching the pee from me a liar.
Poor girl. What was she doing, Brian? She had like a waste paper basket.
She did. She picked up like a bucket and she was catching it from me. It was awful.
Man, it's like somebody throwing up and you're trying to help him, but he's peeing.
And this was like I just started dating her. Like, this is wooing.
That's love.
Yeah,
that's
love. Yeah.
I think sleepwalking scares the hell out of me. Because I just think, like, how do people not hurt themselves so much more and so much worse by sleepwalking? Like, maybe, like, trying to cook while you're so barbecue while you're sleepwalking or something?
Sleepwalking
like,
with guns, probably. Is.
Well, did Fred ever mention to you about some memories?
Yes.
Of mine and his?
Yes, oh, right. I just told it. You got the disease from Dad, the sleepy disease.
It's not a disease. Are you kidding? It's a friggin', well, maybe it's alcoholism. Maybe that's the disease.
Yeah, that's the disease. Then.
Not the sleep pee walking.
Sleep peeing. Sleep peeing. That's the medical term.
I got a story here that I don't even know if I might have. I probably didn't even tell my brother. But I was probably about 23. I was like, just like, you know, I was kind of back from college. You know, I didn't know what I was doing myself. Back from college, meaning I was not going to college anymore. And I was living at my parents' house. And I forgot what it was. Oh, no, it wasn't this time. It must have been a really late night, and I'm sure there was like, I don't know, there was a few different things involved.
Hookers.
And, like alcohol and whatever. And, so I think I got up and I peed in my parents' linen closet, which is in the hallway and the upstairs, like, there's three bedrooms in my parents' house, the house I grew up in, and there's, like, a linen closet and a bathroom. And I think I got up, and I opened the linen closet door, and I peed in the linen
closet.
You
gotta pee on the linens? You gotta pee on all the clean stuff that they dry their clean bodies from out of the shower. You couldn't pick...
Well, like, I did it on purpose, right?
Well, did
you,
they
with your wooing, please.
Was this figured out in, like, National Lampoon's kind of ways?
The next morning, my father's like, what are you, a fucking idiot? And I'm like, what are you talking about? What are you talking about, Dad? I'm like hungover and just whatever. I'm just not in any condition to be like
harassed.
Being yelled at. And he's like, you fucking peed in the linen closet, you dope. I'm like, well, you know, well, I'll do the laundry. What do you want me to tell you? I meant to do it.
See, you took his word for it? I mean, my immediate reaction is that's absolutely impossible. It's a fabrication. You're pulling a joke on me. I did not pee in a linen closet.
Well, then when I thought about it, I was like, Well, I never called him out when he peed in my hand for friggin' three times.
But the, you know, those,
what is that? Why is he got to call me out for?
Because those clothes are going into the wash. These clothes have already been washed. There's a difference. If you pee into
so
the.
Do you think it was, do you think it, like, that's what, that you think that was his, that was his, like, frame of mind when he said it?
Yeah. Oh, you could have blamed him because he suffers from the same disease, the same affliction. Could have tricked him out.
I love just two father and son blaming each other. You peed. No, you sleep peed. No, it was you sleep peed.
I learned it from watching you, Dad.
So, child, did you wind up doing the laundry? Did you have to do the wash?
Come on, Fred. Are you serious?
I guess not.
I'm lucky I do it now. I'm lucky I do my laundry now.
I'm telling you, he's the favorite from my mom and dad. My parents love him.
What if you peed on the linens?
No, I would be beaten and thrown out of the house. My parents love Charlie.
No
could
way.
Do no wrong.
The favorite? Are you kidding?
Charlie could do no wrong.
Get out of here!
If I peed the, forget it. If I peed in that linen closet, no car for me.
How
for
much
a year.
Older are you? Fred.
A year and a half.
Yeah, see, my brother has Charlie.
Two years. What are you talking about? Why are you?
I am. It's
two
just
years older than me.
It's just the two of you, right?
Don't pee on his nightstand.
Yeah, it's the same situation with me. My brother's older than me, and my brother has the same thing. Older brother syndrome. Older brother syndrome. They feel like the parents definitely favor the younger child, and I think that's still instilled in their head from the time that the younger. Especially the younger brother was born.
Oh, really? Absolutely. No, I'm the oldest, and I knew that my parents liked me better than my brothers. That was clear. I mean, it wasn't just like a subtle thing either. They were like, yep, you're number one. In fact, they called me number one.
Further proof that a theory is true for most people because it's the opposite for Brian.
Well, but meanwhile, I feel like Freddie was favored more. Like, I feel like, so, I mean...
Oh, that's because me and you have younger brother syndrome where we think the reverse.
I mean, give me a break, Fred. How old are we here?
Whatever, man. Go pee somewhere.
I'm 22. Leave me alone.
He can pee wherever he wants. The whole world is a toilet to him, apparently.
I'm serious.
Well, thanks for calling in, Charles, with your story.
All right. Thanks for having me.
I'll see you soon, man.
Yeah.
Squeeze it easy.
World-class peer, Chaz. That's great. Is he no longer invited to bachelor parties now?
Oh, definitely not with me.
No, come on. That's the story of the bachelor party. He made the night of
the
bachelor party. Definitely.
Definitely.
I mean, yeah, okay, we shot some guns. We got some hookers. There might have been some drugs involved. But Charlie peed on the freaking nightstand.
Well, wasn't he angry at our friend Ron at his bachelor party? Am I thinking that right?
Well, yeah, he was angry. He was trying to collect money because we trashed my bachelor party. We trashed the place.
Oh, that was your bachelor party. That's right.
Yeah, we trashed the place. And so my brother went around collecting $10 from everybody because, you know, the guy had to clean the carpets.
Good, yeah.
He goes up to Ron. He goes, Ron, give me $10. Ron goes, I'm not giving you $10. My brother goes, you can give me $10 or I could punch you in the face.
Here's $10. There you go. That's an easy conversation.
My brother has a way with words.
I gotta tell you, I've never been to a bachelor party.
Oh, really, man?
I've been invited to a few, and I've always
not missing anything. Man.
I mean, I know, like, granted, I assume always the most of my friends aren't the type that. Although I don't know Fred, that I was invited to Fred's, but I couldn't go. But most of the time, the whole, like, stripper thing at the bachelor party is just kind of like, I don't know. I'm not trying to play all high and mighty now, but it's just...
It's horrifying. It's got to be a horrible...
The strip club was horrifying.
Right. Like, I mean, it's as bad as it is for you right now, Fred, it's got to be five times as worse being the groom. Like, supposedly, this is for you, and it's a torture test. Well, it's like, can you survive through this unpleasantness?
Well, luckily, mine wasn't at a strip club. My brother rented out...
Hookers.
Like a hall, and he got like strippers to come and do a show, a couple. But being in the
Do a show.
Yeah.
Okay, I got it.
But being in the strip joint is weird, man. Paying. Yeah. Guess how much a lap dance costs?
Isn't it whatever you? Oh, to actually purchase. I was thinking.
Guess
you,
how much?
I thought that was a tip thing.
Okay, well, it is.
There is.
But guess how much it costs?
Oh, so you actually?
Well, depends on the joint.
Hold on. Let's back this up because I've been in the strip club twice. There were no lap dances going on, and they
were. Yes, there were.
There were
you just weren't a part of them.
There were no attractive ladies there or any under 45.
That's why.
But anyway.
So this is a strip joint in Pennsylvania called The Grand View.
Mm.
The best view in the Poconos, they say.
I know what you're viewing, bro. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's a fully nude joint. Fully nude. So you see their butts and their vajayjays.
Which means no booze, right?
Which means... They don't sell booze, but you could bring booze in.
Ooh, so
you could
that's
bring
bad.
You could bring. We brought basically a keg of beer in, but you have to drink it. Well, the thing is, you leave it in a specific room that where the girls aren't, and you can only bring two drinks in at a time. So if you have a keg, you could bring in only two cups in.
Only two kegs at a time.
So people getting ridiculous. It's $20 to get the lap dance, and then they say that a $20 tip is usually. Usually what they give the tip. So my brother goes in. He pays the 20 up front, and they go to the desk. She comes back. They punch a card. And then the girl goes in, and she goes, oh, you want to talk about a tip now? You know?
Punch a card?
My brother goes, okay, here's $10. She goes, you know, usually, you know, it's a $20 tip. He goes, honey, I'm not a usual guy.
He's classy. He's a classy guy.
$10 tip.
Oh, my God.
It's $40 for a three-minute lap dance.
But hold on a second. Horrible. You have to back it up a second, because are you telling me now that the time of night that they're sitting there waiting to get on Filthy Guys and dance, they're not getting paid? That they actually punch the card only for when they're dancing on somebody?
I think they only punch the card for when they go dance in. Because now when you go get a lap dance...
You get tips when you're on the stage, though,
When they're on the stage, people are throwing dollars and stuff like that. But when they're walking
the
floor...
behind the curtain.
And they come up to you, ask for your dance, you have to go into a specific area where there's stalls. So there's stalls without toilet bowls, there's seats, and there's no curtains. So as I'm getting a lap dance, I'm seeing the guy that I'm like in the like with the party that's going to the party with me that I see at the bachelor party, he's getting the strip dance right across from me, and I could see the whole thing happening, and it's like really gross and disgusting.
Right.
I'm just blown away. Like, I would think you can't give him $6 an hour just in case, like, just in case something terrible. I think we got the neighbors.
We're experiencing technical difficulties.
Yeah, I just think that, like, it's not a big deal to just pay them, you know, like that. That just made that whole image so much worse.
It's a horrifying experience, and yeah, they do pressure you into spending way too much money, because if you don't, you're a low life, mm-hmm. because you're not tipping them twice what they're getting paid, and there's all kinds of like stuff involved in it. It's just not a fun experience. It's a bad experience. Bachelor parties are not fun. They're just not fun.
This
at all.
One was pretty fun. The shooting the guns was great.
That sounds like a great time.
That's a good idea. I think that's.
I would suffer through a strip joint to go shoot a gun, definitely.
Were the guns before or after the strip
joint? Guns were before.
Okay.
And I'm telling you, the strip joint, it was pretty good because
I'd love
the girls
to shoot
were hot.
A gun in a strip joint.
That's what we were thinking about. To shoot a
stripper. That's
a
$15 tip.
Wow.
Yeah, I've
but have you ever guys gotten a lap dance? Like, went in the back and got a lap dance?
Yeah.
Would you experience, Brian?
It's awful. And on top of that, like, the
did you get the knee in the crotch?
What you get with the lap dance is they actually touch you. And for some reason, like, that's what people are paying for. And I don't want you anywhere near me. I don't want you touching me. And, like, they wear this, really stinky perfume that's really nasty, and they're kind of sweating a little bit, but they're silky. They, like, powder themselves up, so they're like, greasy. It's a bad scene. It's a really bad scene. I don't like it at all.
It was bad.
And now, like, in New York City, you'll go to, like, back in the 90s and even, like, the early 2000s, the early knots, as it were. Like, it used to be the thing that chicks would take their guys to strip joints. You ever have that? Like, your girlfriend bring you a strip joint, then they buy you a lap dance?
No, never.
Awful. Just awful.
What's the point of that?
I don't even understand. Hey, I'm cool. I'm going to bring you. I can watch you with other chicks, and it doesn't bother me, and I'm, you know, whatever.
But the move that the one stripper did when I got a lap dance was so weird. She took the top of her head and rubbed it against my crotch, like the soft spot. She took her soft spot on her head.
She doesn't have a soft spot.
And rubbed it against my crotch, and I was like, "What is going on? Is this like a real thing?" It was like almost. It was funny. It was comical. I started to laugh, and I didn't want the stripper to see that I was laughing at her, because she's like, you know, she's working. When it comes, you know, she doesn't want her coming to my job and laughing at me.
She thought you asked for head.
I said, no, my name is Fred. Oh, man, it was very embarrassing, man.
You know what? Let's try to recreate this experience. Fred, do you remember what kind of music was playing?
There was something pumping, like some reggaeton.
Rob, why don't you throw some of that on, and I'll try to recreate this for Fred. You ready?
Work it.
Brian, you sing. I'm dancing.
Yeah. Hey, Donna. What you doing in the back of the room? Gonna give me your knee, and I'll make it go boom. That's it. That's all I can come up with.
to answer the text Fred sent me earlier in the week. How are we going to make Brian sing this week? That's how we made Brian sing. Hey, anyone on the satellite uplink tonight?
I thought I answered every single question you guys could possibly have about bachelor parties and strip clubs, but apparently not.
Do they suck from your side of
they're fantastic from our side.
Okay, well, first of all, unless you're actually getting money out of a guy at that very minute, you're not getting paid. It's not like there's an hourly wage or anything.
Oh, really? When you're at the club, you're
I'm
not
blown
paid?
Away by that. Wow. I always thought that the worst part of that, if you don't get good tips, is that like you only made some low wage that night that you're taking home.
No. Okay. So I used to work for a little bit of time. I worked at the Paradise Club by the Empire State Building, and that place was such a racket that you had to tip out every single person that they had hired there. So they didn't pay their bartenders, they didn't pay their DJ, they didn't pay their waitresses. You paid them if you were working there. So at the end of a bad, bad, bad night, like if it was snowing and nobody was in the club, oof, I left owing money. I had to pay the DJ, I had to pay the bartender. I still had to do all of my required tip outs. I just didn't make any.
Oh my God, that, yeah. I thought it couldn't get any more horrifying.
Yeah, I sat around for like 8 hours in high heels and a G-string up my butt and left owing money.
Yeah, strip clubs just aren't... I can't believe that people actually like it, that anyone likes the experience at all. Like, I guess I can understand if I was 17 or 18 being fascinated by the possibilities, but the minute you step foot in one and you actually participate with what's in there... I don't know. Isn't it kind of boring? Isn't it just like you want out? I want out of there personally as soon as
I
get in.
I always had the one problem I had is, number one, I guess I'm like, and I guess Brian is as well, I'm like a very private person. So if
You like all your perversions to be behind closed doors?
Just me and my mom and like a curtain in my bedroom. That's it.
Yeah, nobody should know. And like the whole idea of just sitting there, like on a bar stool while some girl just looks down at you and says, I hate my life and you're part of the reason, you know, like it's just like, and then, but hey, here's a dollar. No, hey, maybe I can stick it in your panties. You know, and it's just like, plus that and the whole like, hey, bro, let's go to a strip bar. Hey, guys, let's go get sexy around each other. It's just, it's odd to me. The whole thing is odd to me.
Hey, Keith, I got an erection. Yeah.
Every girl in that joint had to make at least $2,000 a night. I mean, it was packed. People love it. Think about all the men in the world that never had a girlfriend, that don't really get any attention from women, and just for a one night, for a little bit, you know, somebody pays them attention sexually, you know, rubs up against them and touches them.
Are you trying to spin this that that whole industry is good for the girls? Well, good for their self-esteem and whatnot?
I always kind of wonder this, and maybe Vanessa can kind of, like, verify this. People, the guys that are in bachelor parties, when they walk into a place like that, they think they're running the roost. Like, they go in there and they're, yeah, we're going to throw all kinds of money around, but it's usually the guys who aren't really kind of into that thing. And I always suspected they don't know how to spend money, or they don't know how to, like, really... I wondered if, like, strippers look at a bachelor party coming through the doors, and do they get a headache, or is this like, oh, we're going to make a lot of money?
Are you talking about a bachelor party and, like... in, like, somebody's house or a bachelor party in a strip club?
Well, I guess, like, in a strip club.
Okay, a bachelor party in a strip club is like, okay, those guys are going to... That's going to be good money, and everybody wants to go around that group because everyone is going to be buying dances for the other guys at the party. Mm-hmm. So a bachelor party there is good. A bachelor party... well, and that's why... Don't you get the sense that you're being hustled constantly? Like,
yes.
that blood in the water thing where the girls are like sharks and they're, you know.
Every 5 minutes, Vanessa, somebody's coming up to, hey, honey, how you doing, baby? Getting all
that's
the clothes.
Because they're not getting paid unless you give them $10. Yeah. You know, I mean, that's the only reason that they're there.
I can't do it. And it took me a while to figure out that I actually shouldn't be... like, I thought I was delighting them with my conversation, but I didn't want to dance with them.
Wait, they didn't want to talk about PlayStation?
Well, they would come over, and they would want to dance, and I thought I was letting them down easy at first. I was like, no, I really don't want to dance, but, you know, I'll let you down easy. Let's have this conversation.
Wait, so why did you think that they were... that they were there not to make money? They were there to meet guys?
I wasn't a smart guy. Like, I thought they were coming over, and I didn't want to insult them. It's not that I don't want to dance with you. You seem kind of pretty and stuff. I'm just not that kind of guy. Let's talk
then
instead.
Get out of here.
Yes.
The answer is get out of here.
That I realized that that was the answer later, and I stopped going to those kind of places.
The best thing to do if you're ever at one of those places and a chick comes up to you, say, I have no money, and she'll run for the hills. Just
well,
run for the hills.
They spread
or she'll
it.
Say, get out of here.
Exactly.
If you don't have any money, go away.
Well, let me ask you something, Vanessa. If a guy says to you, hey, you know what? Why not instead for 3 minutes, why don't you just sit next to me and we'll talk and here's like $30 or something. Would that be like a pleasure or is that weird to throw? Would that throw everything off? And
that happens. No, that's great.
That is great.
Okay. You know, sometimes on a very, very bad night, someone would come in and be normal, like a person that just didn't really belong there, and you would have a conversation with them, and like for that amount of time, it actually was better not to be making money just to have a human interaction.
See,
but don't get any bright ideas, Brian. Don't be going back to the strip club and trying to make friends.
Well,
that's
some books.
That's
we
what
need
I,
money.
That's what I was trying to do because I knew I wasn't going to spend money on this thing. I certainly wasn't going to spend it on myself.
Hey,
I was going to buy a dance for a friend who wanted it, but I was going to waste it on me because I know I don't like it.
Sit down with me, honey. I have Don Quixote. The book's kind of expensive, but I got it from the library.
Bible. You bring the Bible to the strip clubs.
Chaz is asking in the room if I ever dated a guy I met in the club, and yes, that's where I dated the professional basketball players,
right,
where I met him in
well,
the strip club.
That's what I was going to ask you. What's the pickup? What's the line there? Like that he got you to go home with him or go out with him when he's at the club?
Ever see an NBA paycheck?
Because I think that yeah, exactly. Because I think that's an urban legend where a dude goes, "Oh, I went to the strip joint and the stripper came home with me. It was a great time." You know, you always hear that guy saying that, but
well,
I never believe it.
It wasn't that. I mean, I never just said, like, oh, yeah, let's go home. I think most times when somebody says the stripper came home with me and it was a great time, he was paying
for it.
To go.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But, no, I'm talking about actually meeting somebody and then later saying, like, here's my actual phone number and do you want to go out on a date?
And my real name.
Totally. So what was that line?
Exactly, my real name. When you give somebody your real name, that's like, that's a thing.
Yep.
What was your name, Vanessa? What was your name?
Steve.
Well, my stripper name?
Yeah.
I didn't tell you guys that?
No.
Serena.
Serena. Did you have a whole Russian accent and everything
no.
like that?
No, I got it from Bewitched.
Nice.
Oh, God.
So
it was my kooky persona that looked like me. It was my own personal joke with myself.
You had a black wig that you wore?
So what did the basketball player tell you? Like, what was the line? Hey, you wanna go out one time? Did, you know?
He just acted normal. He acted not interested, which is kind of like a racket that, he acted not interested in the rest of the place or
okay.
what was going on there or...
But interested in you? Like, he was zoned in on you and not, like, the other stuff?
Yeah. Yeah. And he actually... I was on stage and he... this was kind of like a move where you tuck your phone number in a piece of paper, like with the money that you're tipping,
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so when I saw it afterwards, only because like, he looked attractive
rich.
To me, I guess.
He
no,
wrapped
he
it in a
rich.
Basketball
no,
card?
I didn't recognize him or anything. He didn't look like, he didn't look rich. He was somebody I would have been attracted to somewhere else.
Kobe Bryant had a different haircut back then.
He wrote his stats down on the
paper. After he handed me the phone number when I was on stage, when I came down off the stage, I just went over and I was like, hey, what's up? You just gave me your number. Like you think I'm going to call you.
Well.
And,
That doesn't strike me as not interested in the scene. If you're writing your phone number down and tucking it inside of a $100 bill and tipping strippers, you're interested.
He did it with like a wink wink. He did it like it was a joke.
I hate that. I hate whoever this basketball player is already.
It was
awful.
Smooth. What can I say? It worked. It worked.
And now, Vanessa, when did you do lap dances as well?
Yeah.
Okay, so when you went to go give lap dances, between the dances, did you ever give better lap dances to some people than others? Like, say if some guy came up to you and
absolutely.
Says, hey, say like...
Absolutely.
This is the move that I had my brother say. I had my brother buy me a lap dance and say, my brother's gay and he hates the strip joint. Could you give him a lap dance? And I think she gave me a pretty good lap dance thinking that I was gay. Did you ever get that?
Nobody ever said that to me, but that's a good one. I would probably be more aggressive with a guy that they told me was gay just because I would think it was funny.
It was the last dance of the night, and it was the most aggressive that I got.
Yes, that makes sense. That was smart.
Here's another question for you. Have you ever used the top of your head?
Yes.
The top of my head.
Yeah,
where?
On the
soft spot.
Yeah.
Apparently, Fred had a
her soft spot was on his hard spot.
Yeah, she used the top of her head on his lap.
Huh.
Instead of the knee.
Now, I was not as full contact as people are now.
All right, Vanessa, walk us through this. All right, Serena. Welcome, Serena, to the stage.
She's not dancing a Def Leppard. Come on.
I had to dance to whatever they put on.
Oh, you don't get to pick your own music?
All right, what would be like a song that would be... did you have your own song?
90210 theme.
No, did you have your own song? Did you say, here, this is my song that I come
song? Out with? Song?
The very first place that I worked, I did, when I worked privately, I always had my own music. And I used to use things that I didn't like because I didn't want them to be...
Like what?
I didn't want to ruin it, you know? Like, I didn't want my actual favorite songs to remind me of wherever I had been.
Yeah. Give me your most memorable.
A Pearl Jam record, you know? Like, a record that, like, I hated, you know, that I didn't want anything to do with.
I don't...
Jeremy, get some Pearl Jam.
I don't know.
I did.
Car accidents.
I don't know the record a lot. It's just, the whole thing, like, honestly, I think if I even was the type of guy that was into that sort of thing, like a lap dance, I think I would be so uncomfortable that, like, the body language would probably be telling the girl that, like, oh, my God, this guy's going to wait for me with, like, duct tape and an axe. You know, like I would just be, like, I don't know.
I would, when a girl would dance for me and they start to go in to try to be like, hey, I'm going to be a little more touchy-feely or whatever, you know what it's like.
You get off.
Exactly. You know what it's like when you touch me. That's what I'm doing. I'm stiffening up. I'm kind of like not moving my head. I'm trying to not move so that like I'll disappear into the couch or something. I hate it.
Just tell her you go to strip clubs for the articles.
So Vanessa, you were about to say, what would initiate a better lap dance than others, a more aggressive lap dance? Would the tip be involved? If the guy gave you a better tip, would you be a little bit more aggressive?
The tip?
Oh, money. Money, yes.
No, because usually the, I'm trying to think how it, no, just not being, okay, so there's all kinds of signs from the guy. Like, if the guy is being aggressive or rude or, you know, if he's trying to be grabby, like, that's someone that you're giving, like, the bare minimum of a lap dance to. It's just, like, what's required, you know. But so he doesn't start yelling at you.
So I got to be grabbier.
The timid guys, then you're going to give more out to.
I don't want that, though.
But not the ones that look skeeved, you know? Like, I'm not... I'm not basing my self-esteem on that lap dance, but at the same time, I don't want to get the impression that Brian thinks I'm gross, you know?
As you're doing it. Totally.
She's not exactly, like, auditioning for the part, but she wants to put
like,
it in a performance.
Whoever you are, like, I don't like you. I don't care. But at the same time, like, I'm not going to work extra hard to make you tell me I'm attractive.
Unless, apparently, you play professional basketball.
Yeah. But there's some attraction that comes involved. Like, if you see an attractive guy, you might be a little more aggressive than you would if you saw, a nerdier type or a seedier guy.
Easy.
I might have been.
Nice. Well, let me ask this. This is what I really want to know. Who is the worst customer? Who is the worst possible customer? Like, is it the aggressive guy? Is it the scared guy? Like, who is the person that you're like, yeah, that was just the worst thing that could have happened? Like,
the aggressive guy that then calls you a whore. You know, I mean, the one that is.
Did you go in any like hardcore like rap type strip clubs?
No, but I worked. My time in strip clubs was small. My time in bachelor parties was a lot. So I worked some pretty intense ghetto bachelor parties.
Dude, like, she's going to houses.
I'm talking to you, like, people where you're actually scared. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I lived in Los Angeles, so there would be some addresses in, like, you know, right on the border of South Central, like, where you drive by and it's nothing but dudes outside in wife beaters and, like, you know,
do-rags.
Yeah, and they're drinking 40s out on the porch, and there's cars up on blocks, and you tell your driver, keep driving.
It's like Staten Island.
You're not going in there.
It's like Rob's neighborhood. Sounds like.
So, Vanessa, would you rather the aggressive guy that tips well or that timid, bashful kid who is appreciative and tips nothing?
Well, you can't tip nothing.
Well, or tips like, you know, the bare minimum.
Tips $10. Tips half.
Unfortunately, the aggressive guy that tips well is a necessary evil.
Yeah.
See? I mean, that's not your favorite time in the night. And inside of a bachelor party, there is the dynamic, the wolf pack mentality. Yes. Everybody takes a role, and there is always, always, always a guy who is the one that is the grabbiest, the rudest, the one who's yelling at other guys to do things they don't want to do.
Grind it harder!
Yeah, there's always that guy, and that's the guy that you avoid as much as you can.
I'm definitely not like that. I was like so soft. I'm like, am I doing this right? You know, this is my first time. Please be careful.
See, now if that came with money, then you're perfect.
Then that would be perfect.
That's
for
it.
Us.
You're the guy.
That's a dream.
A sucker is born every day.
I would think one of the worst parts would be hearing the same, the guy that thinks that he's the first one with the line that you hear, like, repeatedly every night, whether it's a pickup line or a joke.
Oh, yes. Okay, so I was,
those
it was
real?
Early 90s. It was early 90s, you know, when I was doing all this. So the person who thought they were hilarious, every time you take your top off and they go, whoop, there it is, and then you want to kill yourself.
Oh, my God. I didn't think anything that bad.
Oof. Now, Vanessa, someone at my bachelor party was complaining the next day of a black and blue penis. Did you ever hear about that? Girls maybe rubbing a little too hard and making the shaft a little black and blue?
Are you sure it wasn't
a
sunburn?
Really didn't, I didn't do any of that kind of grinding.
I asked if he was getting
I didn't get that much. All you were getting out of me at that time was, like, you know, the move where you flip your hair over and, like run it down over the crotch. Like, I wasn't having any, like, serious crotch contact.
I hear you. Because I thought he had a dance with the bouncer when he told me that his penis is black and blue. That's very odd.
Punched him?
Yeah, exactly.
Punched him in the
Well, the bouncer gave him a lap dance. I didn't know. Like, that girl must have been very aggressive. Oh, man. So what year, when was the last time you were in a strip joint, Vanessa? Have you ever
non-working.
Have you ever been there non-working since you worked?
Have I been in a strip club non-working?
Like, to pick up a paycheck, you mean? Or?
just hanging out.
Just hanging out.
Just reading the paper, you know, having a meal.
I haven't been to a strip club in a really long time.
Because I think Vanessa would be the girl to go to a strip club with, because she knows about it.
My friends in L.A. do go to strip clubs sometimes, like as a group, you know, like a bunch of people go to a strip club.
As a stripper, isn't it a little annoying the girl who walks in with the boyfriend who thinks she knows everything about strippers and starts, like...
No, that's okay, because usually a couple is a good money-making thing, usually, too, because the guy always wants to pay you to pay extra attention to the girlfriend. Mm-hmm. Or vice versa, if they're, you know, if they're a little kinkier.
Such a weird, odd dynamic, the whole thing.
It's really, really, really strange. And, like, as much as, you know, I did it for 5 years. So, you know, as much as I try to, like, block it out, like, when I think about, it's the bottom feeding of social experiments, you know, it's just, you see everybody in their strangest, worst. And then it's not like the bachelor parties. There's also, like, the guys who just call for private shows that just want to have a stripper come over by themselves.
That's crazy. See, that's crazy, man.
That's usually a cocaine party.
Yeah, it's also probably not just for stripping too. Like, they probably are. Want a little more.
There's plenty of guys that do it just for stripping, because they'll call you back over and over again. You know, it's just like an actual hooker, you either have to pay like a lot of money to get her to come over and act like she likes you, or you're going to pay her about the same amount of money to lay down for 10 minutes and then she's out the door. If you want to pay a good-looking girl to come over and spend an hour listening to your cocaine nonsense and have her clothes off, that's going to be a stripper. That's not going
to
be a hooker.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What if she wants to? What if you want to read to her or play video games with her?
Yes, you could do both of those things, and she could be naked, but you know, or not. It's up to you, Brian.
I just want you out. Just how much can? Well, how
you
long?
You wouldn't call to have anyone come
yes,
over.
Absolutely.
No?
Maybe, Brian, you could pay to have someone come over and say, "Oh, you know what? I have to go," so you can experience that pleasure of somebody leaving, that euphoric feeling of not having to go through with it. Well, Vanessa, it was definitely good to hear your voice again.
Thanks, Vanessa. Thanks for clearing some stuff up.
You're welcome. Anytime you have questions, I will do my best to answer them.
Thank you.
You're the best.
Okay, goodbye.
Bye.
You're listening to Best in Show on the Heroes Talk Radio Network. Join us every Tuesday from 9 to 11 for the DJ New Style Show.
So you're saying that, yeah, we are aware that there is a whole category of pornography, as you call it, labeled mature. Now, these are like these aren't the typical spring chickens. These are maybe some older gals that right. that are getting in on it.
Well, that's my point. Are sure. you aware that women my age are categorized as mature pornography? I mean, are you aware? I am a 38-year-old white man, and women who are in porn who are my age are categorized as mature!
Oh, my God. Yeah. You know what? That's got to be one of those milestones that you hit. You know, when you realize, hey, you know, I'm really aging here. I mean, how do you feel about this?
I feel awful. I mean, Nina Hartley started out as just regular, and now she's in the mature category.
She's probably doing grandma porn.
Well, and that's what my point is. After the mature, it's called granny. And grannies who are 50 years old are in 10 years, I'll be in granny porn.
Tune in to the DJ New Style Show every Tuesday from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. on the Hear Us Talk Radio Network. The thing to do with your ears and the place to be.
This is Keith from Best in Show Radio. During the summer, the best way for you to wind down from a long day at the beach, the park, the PlayStation, or wherever it is you people with jobs go, is with your friends at Hear Us Talk. Join us every Tuesday night for the DJ New Style Show, live from 9 to 11. Thursday nights, catch Best in Show Radio, live from 8 to 11. And usher in your weekend with The What Show, Friday nights at 9:30, all times Eastern. Plus, on Wednesday nights, dim the lights and get your popcorn ready for 100K Presents. And remember some older moments on Monday nights with the Best in Show Radio Journey to the Past. All of this and more can be found at HeroesTalk.com and the Heroes Talk Radio Room in Paltalk. And don't forget to check out our forums at RadioBronzeFans.com and get your hands on all the latest merchandise at HeroesTalk.Spreadshirt.com. All of this is brought to you by the Heroes Talk Radio Network, the thing to do with your ears and the place to be.
It's Best in Show Radio on the Heroes Talk Radio Network, the thing to do with your ears and the place to be. And guess what, folks? We have some award-winning software for you to try. It's the ICU2 video chat. You've heard us talking about it. You've seen us using it. Well, no, you haven't seen us using it, but you've heard us talking about it. And I think it's about time you try it out. It's free at ICU2.com. There's all kinds out there, but ICU2 has been around longer than all of them. Yes, that's right. Experience. That's what counts. ICU2 installs in seconds on your Windows PC.
Literally
in seconds. You can be face-to-face with people from all over the world in no time at all. It's free to try. Visit ICU2.com and click the download button. ICU2.com. And ICU2 is the 2009 People's Choice Award winner for Internet Communication. So check it out free at ICU2.com. On Best in Show Radio, on the Heroes Talk Radio Network.
I see you too. Come on.
And
that should be the new motto, Fred.
I gotta say that I don't know if you guys noticed. I don't know if you guys noticed my outfit today.
Yeah, I noticed it. It's
I have my
holy T-shirt on.
My Atlanta Falcons
holy
shirt
T-shirt
with a little hole in it.
little. You got a couple of medium-sized holes in there, Keith.
And I have my green army shorts. They're not army shorts, but I call them that because they're like that army green color. And my brown sneakers.
You look like a Vietnam vet.
Well, that's not exactly the look I was going for, but there was a time in my life when...
not even Iraq. Vietnam, really? That bad?
Look at him. Look like he got Agent Orange sometime in his life.
There was a time in my life when I really cared how I dress, and I no longer care how I dress. And it's not to say that if I have, like, if I'm going somewhere where I feel proper dress is acquired, I enjoy wearing a suit. I enjoyed the hell out of wearing a suit for our big call-a-thon last week. But, oh, yeah, I loved it, even though it was hot as hell in here. But I still enjoyed it. But I don't know. I've noticed that now, like, I am breaking every rule. And granted, most people will say, yeah, you're a 35-year-old man. Why do you even care, like, what clothes you're wearing if you're not, you know what I mean, if you're not going to a specific, like, a wedding or something.
And you got a girl. You know what I mean? It's not like you're on the market.
Yeah, and it's just kind of like.
You just match the rhino to the rhino. That's how I do it.
Well, I don't. That's the problem. It's a good thing you brought up the word match.
Match the rhino to the rhino. What is that?
Garanimals? You guys are not familiar with the Garanimals?
I wear like the other day I put on, and normally it's good you brought her up because she normally doesn't care. She'll be like, yeah, you know, you look fine. Whatever. Like, you know, I guess, you know. It's
she
baffling.
She says that on the outside.
It's baffling.
That's not what she's saying on the inside. Trust me.
Well, luckily I can't read mine, so. Yeah, if someone says, yeah, you look good, you look fine, you know, like, but even, and then one, the other day, I was just, she's kind of eyeing me, like,
you look fine is not exactly
fine is socially acceptable. Like, fine is like a step above, like, boxer shorts.
You look fine means I'm sort of socially obligated not to insult you. That's really what that means. Well, look fine means, ugh.
One day I had, like, these brown striped shorts, these, like, oh, no, I'm sorry, these, like, plaid shorts, and, like, this striped shirt. Of, like, a different color. So,
oh, you
like,
look fine, honey.
The plaid and the stripes going against each other. And, like, the red, like a red Atlanta Falcons cap that I wear here a lot. And, like, my like, I might have even been wearing my silver sneakers. And, like, these are just the clothes at this point that I'm throwing on. So it's gotten to the point where, like, granted, I'm only walking to the store. But it's just, like, I look at myself and I'm like, wow. Number one, yeah. Like... When I have the collared shirt and the hat and the shorts, I look like I look like somebody's middle-aged dad. You know, like I'm the guy. I just might as well have sandals on. That's the last thing I need.
Socks. Just wear a muumuu out. At that point, I mean, that would be more acceptable than that outfit.
It's amazing though, because I just throw everything together, and I don't know when it happened that like, and it's not a matter of not wanting to look like it's more now the opposite. Like I'm more concerned with how I look in the house. When I'm outside, I kind of have this, like, maybe, unfortunately, maybe this is, like, the sign of, like, some sort of a sociopath or something, but I kind of almost have this, yeah, F anyone on the outside attitude. Like, I honestly don't care what I look like
don't
when
care
I
about
go
your
there.
Opinion. But inside, with the people that live inside with you, you want to look at least somewhat acceptable.
Yeah, I've definitely thought twice about, like, what I've put on when I'm just going to hang out with my girlfriend, like, more than, like, what I'm going to put on to walk to a store, like, down the block. And it's just like, but do you guys like care? Do you care about like? I mean, look, I know neither of you guys are like running up $1,000 bills at name of famous at Brooks Brothers, but
yeah.
I mean Macy's.
I do coordinate, and I do somewhat care about the way I look when I go out. To complete opposite when I'm inside, I will wear a 10-year-old box of shorts and no shirt. Like when I'm inside the house. But when I go outside, I'm like, all right, does this shirt match these pants? Do these pants match the shoes? Does the shoes match the socks? I definitely have to be color coordinated when I go out. But the I don't have money to buy nice clothes. That's the thing. Like the clothes that I buy are like, you know, from TJ Maxx. That's like expensive for me.
Yeah, I love TJ Maxx. And that's the thing, too. Like, if I was going looking for clothes, and if I'm going somewhere, if I go, I know I'm going out somewhere, like, in a suit, now I'm going to be looking to, like, I'm going to be looking to match my socks to my tie, if possible. You know what I mean? Like, or even, like, the little dots and the design on the socks, whatever color that is that nobody's going to see anyway. Like, that stuff I'm doing, but...
Well, the reason my wife came out with me to buy the suit today that I bought was to get a matching tie for her dress. That we have to go to a wedding to, so we're actually coordinating together.
Oh,
like my
wait.
Tie and shirt
oh,
match
God.
Match her dress.
And horrifying.
Now we're coordinating outfits as a couple now.
That's the worst. I can't imagine a couple that would coordinate. If I saw a couple that intentionally went out of their way to have like the same color on or to match each other, I don't think I'd want to. I don't think I'd want to hang out with you. And your
really?
Girlfriend. But if I saw that, I'd be like, wow, that is awful. It's like twins. It's like you guys are twins going out of your way to have
the same
haircut and the
wearing.
Same clothes. Yeah, but you're doing the same thing. You're making an effort that you guys will look good together.
That's what couples in love do, bro.
Oh,
I think
boy.
There's.
I
gotta honestly say, I don't think there's. Wait, you guys were doing like performing some sort of dance act.
No. We weren't. No,
they were not doing this for money. No,
oh.
They were just walking around oh. in public.
I don't know. Like couple that dresses alike. It's terrible.
Yes.
They should fall in a hole. But like,
listen, my wife has a light purple dress she's wearing. I bought a gray suit and I bought a shirt and a tie that would accent her dress.
I don't think it necessarily, and I don't know why, but I don't think it's necessarily bad if there's some sort of coordination among them that they
That's
look
bad.
Like, you know, like. They look sort of like they go
belong.
Together. Like, not it's, like they're dressed identically, but like...
You should stitch your last names to the tie and her same last name in the same font, but in a smaller thing for the woman.
Did you get that light lavender? Bag. When you say you coordinated it, is your tie light lavender?
It's like a light lavender and like dark purple.
And she brought her... You actually were holding her dress when you were holding
because
her
Because it's
her
not
tie.
Gay enough to dress like your wife. You actually have to
she didn't
wear
bring the
purple.
Dress. She didn't bring the dress with her, but I brought her because she has a better eye than me, and she could pick out the tie that would best match her outfit.
I gotta tell you guys something. One night, my girlfriend was wearing a dress, and I can't recall the pattern, but I remember saying, damn, I wish I had a tie that would match that, like, that same pattern
same.
Or something. I think it would look kind of cool, like, against the backdrop of, like, the black suit. I feel like that tie would look cool. I don't think there's, you know what, Fred,
there's
I'm
no
going
to
officially
right?
back you up. I don't think there's anything.
That's
wrong.
Horrible.
Brian,
that's
what
horrible.
Is with, bro, why can't you get into something like that?
Why, I can't believe that someone wouldn't feel kind of uptight stepping out of the door and trying to look like anyone. Like,
I'm not trying to look like
yes, you
my
are.
Wife.
Yes, you are. You
no,
are
no,
trying.
Not.
You're wearing the same colors as your wife.
Not
you want to make
colors.
Sure that
the
colors
tie is the same color as the dress. That's it. That's the only thing that's the same is the tie. It resembles the dress in a slight way. You know, that's all.
I think it's kind of cool. I don't know. I picture it. I could almost see it, depending on how nice the dress is. I could almost see it something envisioning it being like in a David Lynch movie or something. Not that that's how people should measure being normal necessarily, but
yeah. Well, Brian, you think I'm being used as an accessory? Is that what you? Was that
maybe,
where you're coming?
You're a trophy husband.
Yes.
Maybe that's what it is. Is you're being reduced
My wife
a little
is so
bit?
So lucky. She got me.
She's showing you off. She wants everyone to know. It's like that old game, like, was it Concentration, the kids' game? She wants everyone to know. Oh, I've seen that pattern. He matches her.
I don't know. It's just, it seems, I mean, okay, I understand acknowledging that you're part of a couple, that you're in a relationship together, that you share your lives together even.
Should end with the wedding ring?
I mean, it goes a little too far. I think when I see, when I'm sitting at those wedding ceremonies and you get to the part where they have the candle and they each have their own separate individual candles and then they light one candle and they snuff out the two individual candles, it just seems to be this like metaphorical thing about your life is over and now it's this. And that's, I mean,
what,
I guess that
I'm
kind of screams at me. Are you guys walking out the door wearing the same color intentionally?
I think this is deeper, Fred. I think this is much deeper than they
now
look
I'm,
stupid.
Now because of a tie, I'm losing my individuality. Is that what you're saying to me right now? Is that?
I guess it smacks of that, but
really?
My knee-jerk reaction is, it's just douchey.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it would be douchey if you did that with your best friend. It would be douchey if you did it with your brother. It would be douchey if you did it with your father. It would be. It's not that it's you and your wife. It's that you and there's another human being out there that's trying to color coordinate themselves to you. That just.
I think it's just. I think Brian's just cringing because he knows if he's color coordinated, he's going out somewhere that night.
Exactly.
What if she wants to color coordinate and you can play video games the whole night?
Do it in a second.
I mean, it really is kind of the public aspect of it. Like, yeah, I don't think I'd feel comfortable wearing her
first of
colors
all,
sitting at
I
home.
Can I just point out, I picked out the tie. I like the pattern. It's not like she picked out the tie and was like, you're going to wear this because this matches my dress perfectly.
Well, I don't have
It wasn't like that.
I mean, I don't think there's any sort of... well, maybe there is. I don't know. But I don't know if anyone has any sort of an issue that you were... You were told what to do, you know what I mean?
Well, I think that's where Brian is coming down to. That you're being told what to do. You're losing your individuality. Now you're not yourself. You're not Fred anymore. You're Fred plus one now.
Although our buddy Ed says you have no balls in the Pal Talk group, so I guess people are taking it in that way. I was wrong.
But there's really? Smacks of that. There's a part of it to that. But, I mean, the overwhelming part is that it's just silly.
See, I think Fred likes it, though. I think being an actor, being a da-da-da, I'm going to wear it, you know, and I'm going to throw my girl out and be da-da-da. And he's, like, vain and everything.
The showmanship aspect you think he likes?
I just think he would like it.
Believe me, because I don't take myself seriously. I think it's funny as hell that me and her are going to come in with the same colors on, and it's like a Barney purple. Do you know what I mean? It's, like, crazy
color. But she's not doing it. You're doing it ironically. Like, hey, look at us. We're a couple. Get it? And she's like, hey, look at us. We're a couple. Aww.
I think she's getting the jokiness of it.
Okay. Well, then I'm fine with that. If this is a joke and you guys are making fun of the situation, that's funny.
Maybe it's this half and half with her.
You're not describing it that way.
I think knowing her as much as not that I know her a lot, but from what I know of your wife, I think she probably appreciates that there's some silly aspect to it, you know, maybe the irony of it. But I think she probably thought it was cool that you guys sort of matched, you know? She's proud of her little Freddy. Don't be mad at her.
And I'm proud of my little girl, too, man. I mean,
I'm not suggesting that you shouldn't be proud of your wife. I'm saying maybe you should wear your own clothes. Maybe you should dress yourself. That's all I'm suggesting. I'm just...
A line was
just
crossed.
Just an idea.
Well, Brian, let me ask you something. Would you... I know this is probably a silly question to begin with, because I don't think you're the dancing type. Would you rather be... I don't know why this scenario came into my head.
Dead or dancing?
Would you rather be matching your girlfriend at an event, or would you rather be dancing with her to the point where, like, a little crowd forms around you?
Oh, my God.
The showmanship aspect that Rob is bringing up made me think that maybe Fred would like to be both. But
I think I would swim in a vat of human feces before if I had to make the choice between that and dancing in public. I'll wear whatever you want me to wear. I'll wear her underwear. I don't want to dance. I'm sorry. I'm just not a big dancer.
Well, I have the opposite, actually. With guys. When I go on appointments with a coworker, we have to call each other, make sure we're not wearing the same shirts in the morning and the same color. So we're not having like two blue and black suits on, and or blue and
really?
You know, tie.
Really? Why?
So,
somebody will
because
get mad?
There's times where if you look like you know.
Funeral directors?
You know, yeah, like
a wait staff?
No, no.
Yeah, something like that.
the guys who knock at your door and like
Jehovah's Witnesses.
Yes, that's it.
Yeah, so.
So
I
you
mean,
really
I,
color coordinate
to
with
this
the
day,
dudes?
I'm conscious of, yes, because, you know.
Bro,
it's
you wearing blue or black today?
Yeah, pretty much.
Blue or black today, bro. Yeah.
And actually, if you have like, if it's, you know, the striped shirts I wear to work, I'll call up my buddy and, you know, and say, you know, or he'll call me and say, yeah, you're not wearing your blue and black stripe today, are you? Because we've worn similar, we have similar shirts, and it just looks hilarious when we wear it
funny.
Together.
You know, it's pretty easy to color coordinate yourself with me. If my girlfriend really wanted to go out and color coordinate, she would just wear all black. Because it's pretty much all I do. Mm-hmm. I just wear black T-shirts, black shirt, black pants, black socks, black underwear. I just wear – it's very easy. And now that, like, I'm not spending money, I, too, am with you, I got to say, Keith. I stopped caring about, like, clothes. And I stopped going out and trying to make myself look pretty and all that stuff. And a large part of that is I wear clothes until they're dead. They have holes in them. I've been at work wearing clothes with holes in them so much so that the boss had to come over and point out the fact that you can't wear this anymore because it looks ugly and it's broken.
It's like you slowly allow. I definitely actually, I used to wear work shirts that had like little holes in them and like, but I would wear something under it so it wasn't upon skin, which looks a lot worse. But like, I would have obviously sewn up like, you know, Frankenstein scars of thread on the shirt.
I don't even bother sewing anymore. It's just, I leave the hole in there until it's ripped apart and it's off of my person. Like now I kind of have, these are the shirts that I can go to work with. These are the shirts that I can sleep in. And these are the shirts that I can just like,
oh, yeah. My sleep shirts are bandanas sometimes. They're so torn and
like a wrestler.
It's like the guy in Alien with the alien coming out of the stomach was wearing it or something. Yes. It's just like the stomach is all ripped open and terrible.
But what is it about getting older that you just don't care anymore? Like, is it like you don't...
Yeah.
Like that part of you, that vainness of you, is just gone?
For me, it's money. It seems like it's a money. Ridiculous thing to spend money on.
If you had money, you would spend it on suits?
I used to be fairly vain. I had a bunch of suits. Like, I would have, I'd keep like a good rotation of maybe 5 to 7 nice suits. And I had all kinds of different kinds and different cuts and for different occasions and so on and so forth. Huh. And on top of that, every couple weeks or so, I'd go out shopping and get clothes for, different things. I just stopped. I can't remember the last time I've bought clothing.
With me, it's two things. As far as shopping, it's usually a weight thing. I can't get excited about wearing clothes I'm going to like if I have to look for, like, some extra size that's just not going to look good because it's going to wrap around me. And I'm not excited. I think our buddy Vilchot brought up the outfit I was wearing. Outfit? I wear outfits, yes. At the Hear Us Talk hangout. I don't remember what it was called. Huddy Hour. a couple weeks back, I was a Sopranos extra or something. And the reason I was wearing that is because that was the only clothes I could wear that weren't just, like, this T-shirt and these shorts or another T-shirt and similar shorts that, like, didn't make me just, like, show off little, like, I don't know, just odd little, like, lumps and stuff. But when I go out to a store or something, I don't care. Sometimes I'll look and I'll be like, wow, look at how, like, lumpy and odd and wide you look. And I'll just be like, you know what? I don't care. Who cares, you know? And it's like, it's slowly holes. It's a little hole you get away with to the point where you start thinking, like you start wearing sweatpants. And then it's like, well, these sweatpants are covered in paint and ripped. But, like, what does it matter? You know, I think I've seen people wearing stuff like that.
I do it all the time.
And then after a while, like, it's just, you don't, I don't know what it is. You don't care anymore because it's just like, you know how silly the whole thing is, I guess.
And for a while, I haven't bought new clothes because I'm not happy with my weight, where I am weight-wise.
So I don't want to commit to a larger size.
Like, I mean, I could be a 36 or a 34. Yep. I don't want to start buying 36s because I know I'm going to be a freaking 34. So when I bought this suit, I was like, it just fits me, this suit. I spent $300 on it. And now this is going to keep me from, one, not doing XX anymore, hopefully, and to just keep my weight off so I could fit into this goddamn suit now. So this is like my investment, my weight investment.
Wait,
that I have.
You're 34. You're talking about the pants waist size?
Yes.
Wow. I'm hoping that I could lose enough weight to get back to my 38 pants all fitting me at this point. That's amazing to me.
Dude, it's horrible. I hate it. I don't feel like uncomfortable in my own skin sometimes. I just can't stand it. Cannot stand it.
I hear you.
Hopefully now this will keep it off. This is going to keep it off.
Fred has a demon in his eyes look right now. About, like, talking about how he's fat.
Oh, he's committed.
You got anything going on, buddy?
I'm so committed. Dude, I've been starving myself lately, man. Starving myself. It's been bad. It's been bad news.
What are you looking to get down to? What weight?
I would love to be 175.
Jesus.
How tall are you?
About 5'11". Mm-hmm. 5'10".
That's reasonable. It's even, one might say that's even overweight. That's even heavy
I'm
on the heavy side,
now.
Believe it or not.
I would love to lose 15 pounds.
I think I'm probably like 230.
230? Are you you weigh more than Chris now, Keith, I bet.
I don't know, only because he's like 3 inches taller than me at least. So I don't know if I'm that. He may still have more weight just from the sheer height.
I know that he weighs less than 230.
Does he?
Yeah. If you actually weigh 230...
What he weighs right now?
I don't remember the specific number, but 2 weeks ago I knew it was below 230.
We'll have a weigh-in. We'll have a weigh-in. Maybe on Labor Day I'll have a weigh-in.
He's closing in on me. I remember when he told me the weight, I was like, wow, I might actually
be heavier.
You've got
to be 210, Brian.
I don't think I'm 210, but I remember him telling me his weight, and I was like, Jesus.
You're over 2?
For the first time in my life, yeah, I broke the 200 mark, and it's debilitating.
Buy yourself a new suit. Buy yourself an expensive suit that you could barely fit into.
I love we're all sitting here talking about, I don't care what I look like anymore, but like, oh man, you weigh that? Oh yeah, I'm so fat. I'm a house.
You know what the worst part about, like, the color, the coordination is I did, for a long time, because I stopped buying clothes, I had a limited amount of clothing. I would have to basically decide, I can only have a certain number of T-shirts that were good for work or good for public.
Except that pizza.
And they, because they were very specific, could only match with a very limited amount of pants that still fit me and were wearable and I didn't pee on or were busted open or something. So I had to, I basically, it had gotten to the point where if you saw me on Tuesday, that next Tuesday I'd be wearing the same exact thing. Every week, every day of every week you'd see me, I'd be wearing that. I had a Monday suit. I had a Tuesday suit. I had a Wednesday suit.
Of course you did. Of course you did.
But, and it's because I just didn't have enough clothing. Now, some of that clothing is gone. So when I go back into like a regular job, I'm not going to have enough clothes to wear for that week. I don't know what I'm going to do. Like, I can't I can't afford to coordinate myself anymore. I'm screwed.
So now you have to go work clothes shopping if you ever do get a job?
Probably. Or I'm just going to have to wear, the same pair of pants twice a week or something, you know?
Well, that's not bad. You could get away with that. Really? Wearing a pair of pants on Monday and a Friday.
I'm a little uptight about laundry. I never wear the same pair of pants twice before I wash it. And, I'm always doing laundry. It's kind of a thing for me. So
really?
That's going to be hard for me wearing the same pants. Which is why...
You're getting a job. Who are you kidding?
I wear PJs and sweatpants constantly because they don't count. I can wear the same pair of sweatpants for 3 weeks in a row.
Those poor sweatpants.
You're listening to Do We Look Fat in These Pants on Best in Show Radio. On hearstalk.com, the thing to do with the ears and the place to be. If you want to call us on the hottest of all lines, 877-744-6405. Speaking of, who's this?
Sheepy.
Hey, Sheepy. How are you?
What's up, buddy?
Hi. How did you afford to be jobless if you're so particular about the way you wash your clothes and everything?
Good question, Sheep.
You can wear the same pants all week. How much does your ass leak where you don't feel comfortable in the same pants every day?
It's true. It is a hang up, and I always thought that that's just how everyone rolled. I thought that everyone washed their clothes at the end of the day. I keep a hamper, and at the end of the day, I walk.
Four Ingalls?
I guess I'm uptight about laundry. I walk into the house and I take the clothes off. They go in a hamper. They don't go.
What's your water bill?
Well, that's the thing. It's even worse because I live in New York City and I don't own a washer dryer. I have to go across the street and lug it to those. I have to pump $10 worth of quarters in.
Do you have laundromat friends?
No.
The same people or different people every day, and you just know everyone's backstory.
It's weird that I do get to know the people at my local laundromats so much so that. If I go to one laundromat and I cheat on them and I go to another one, they miss me. And they want me to come back and do their business with them.
You develop these odd relationships.
You got bodega envy. You got laundromat envy.
A lady told – I had to come up with an excuse last week because the cheaper place – because now I'm trying to save money.
Wait. There's cheaper laundromats?
Oh, yeah. There's one place.
One place – 15 cents, the other place is a quarter still.
There's a busted up joint right across the street from me. Half the washers don't work. None of the dryers work. It's just a nasty place. And it's boiling hot. It kind of smells bad. It's a bad place to go. And it looks dangerous when you roll up on it. But it's half as expensive as the nice place down the street. So I've been going to the busted up joint, and it was closed.
Yeah, but doesn't it take you twice as long to dry your clothes in those machines? And by the way, every single of those washers are full of jizz.
They're the big industrial washers. They're huge. But
that means they're full of more jizz, I think.
I'm exaggerating. There's one. I have to stay there, and I have to fight with the rest of the people to get that dryer. And it means more work. It's less money. And a lot of my clothes are delicates or whatever, so they hang dry. But it's now that I've been going there, I've been ignoring my fancy little expensive place down the street, and I had to go back there because the busted up joint was closed one day, and she missed me. She was like, "Oh, you're back."
A laundromat that closes?
Yeah, I know.
What happened? A murder?
It was Chinese New Year? I don't know. But right down the street, the lady recognized me. She was like, "Oh, you haven't been here in a couple." I had to make up a story. I had suggested, I don't know how I'm going to pull this off. I suggested that my girlfriend started doing the laundry, but now she broke up with me and I'm alone, so now I'm back to doing laundry again. I couldn't tell her that it's because they're too expensive.
That's such a weird excuse.
It's the first thing that popped in my head.
Maybe you'd be helping her out, admitting she has a problem of charging people too much if you told her?
Probably. Instead, she's flirting with me.
No one's ever going to tell her that something's hanging from her nose, basically. That's you were the person that could have set her straight on that one.
Yeah.
Big Will in the chat room is calling you out, though, Bri, as far as your clothes are delicate. You can't.
Yeah. And Mizza174 also points out that, yes, I wash my unmentionables in Woolite. I do use Woolite.
You should.
For my delicates, I use some hardcore grainier stuff for my my harder machines, and I hand wash stuff as well that are like oh so delicate. And
are you kidding me?
I'm not killing you. I also use bleach on my whites, which apparently is
no.
Yeah.
That is ridiculous.
Well, Sheepy, are you someone that cares about if you're running down to the corner store? Are you going to worry about the horrible mismatch of patterns you might be wearing? Are you going to?
Well, I only leave the house in certain clothes.
Outside clothes?
Yeah, I have outside clothes.
PJs.
But most of the time, no, I never wear pajamas outside of the house.
Well, Sheep, what does your outside clothes consist of?
My jeans. I have matching outfits, but right now I'm getting. From my girlfriend, Caller 200, Brittany Pablo.
Alec Baldwin?
She has bought me a couple outfits, and now I have these nice new outfits.
Please explain one of your outfits. Like, what would be an outfit? Explain the ensemble. Is it like a... I picture a velour
right now,
sweatsuit.
What I'm wearing is some Old Navy jeans,
okay.
Green, really nice, like, T-shirt with kind of like a V-neck. And then this light gray hoodie. And then underneath that, I have a white beater black Old Navy T-shirt underneath. What are they called? The white beater shirt.
So,
and that's one of my outfits now. That's one of my new outfits.
Keith, would you say he is well coordinated in that outfit that he has on? Jeans,
green
shirt?
Oh, he's Mr. Blackwell compared to me. He's Mr. Blackwell. I mean, I told you, stripes, plaid, red hat, silver shoes, and, oh, I forgot to mention the best part, and black dress socks.
Oh,
that's the best. Oh, well, they go with your silver shoes. You got to match the socks to the shoes.
Make black socks, like black sports socks, because I really want them, but I have size 14 feet, so it's hard for me to find socks.
Wow, size 14.
They do make
feet.
Regular black, you know, sweat socks, but that are in black.
I'm wearing a pair right now. Yeah, I get all my socks.
Those are light gray at this point, Brian.
Oh, yeah, I know. Well, they've been washed a little bit. I'm sorry. But yeah, now I've taken to buying. I used to go. I don't know if Sheepy, how familiar you are with like Brooklyn, but particularly the part that I'm in, there's a whole avenue that's just riddled with those dollar stores.
Black people.
Yes, there are. There are some of that as well.
And what do you get at the dollar stores?
I get the underwears and the socks out of
underwears. Oh. Underwear. Right. Underwear.
No, you buy them in a bundle of five, and they're cheap because
five what?
They're kind of five things of underwear in a bag.
Okay.
But the thing is that they're so cheap because apparently they're the off mark. They're like.
Irregular?
Yeah, that's what it is. I'm buying irregular socks and underwear.
They don't have the inspected by number 14.
No, definitely not. They're inspected by bleh.
Rejected.
And on top of that, I've taken not only to just... I figured it's underwear, it's socks, no one's going to see that. Now I'm getting T-shirts.
It's your poor girlfriend.
I buy everything there. All my sweatpants, which are my outdoor, my dress pants now. They're all...
You might as well move into a shelter.
Exactly. Just put a shower curtain over you at this point right now, right?
Those are expensive.
Donating clothes that are better than that.
Yeah, the shower curtains are much more expensive than the clothes I'm buying. Are you kidding me?
So, Sheepy, would you ever be caught dead wearing, like, your pajamas out? Like, if you were just going to walk to the store or something?
No underwear?
Sometimes, if I'm sick, I'll walk outside in a trench coat and pajama pants and, like, a T-shirt, and I get the mail.
Okay. But you'll just go as far to the mail, to the sidewalk. You wouldn't
walk
further.
Yeah. But the problem is the neighbor across the street is a fan of Ron and Fez, and so every time they see me, I'm afraid that they'll send something to Ron and Fez.
Yeah, I used to be the same way. It was only relatively recently that, screw it, I'm out amongst the population. I went a block away to a bodega. I purchased some bread there, and that's it. No, I'm wearing PJs everywhere. I broke the seal. Yep.
And that's it does happen. I'm telling you, that's how it starts. It's like you wear it once, and then you just like,
you see another guy wearing it,
and it's like, well, wait, I could do that too. Yeah. You know, what's the big deal? I don't care.
Summertime is too hot. I don't want to put underwear on.
Yeah, and you can get really, really fat and drive around on a scooter too.
It's true. It's true. If I can afford a scooter.
I don't have a scooter, but I'm really, really
fat. The government
fat.
Will buy you one.
Yeah, if you get fat enough, the government will buy you one, Keith. Yeah, 100 more pounds, I think, Keith. Are you ready to get that scooter?
Really?
You ever see it?
You're just all anorexic and want me to weigh more than you. You're afraid of.
Totally. The fatter you get, the better I feel, Keith.
Well, the clothes do make the man sheepy, and his jeans and his wife beater t-shirts. I think we all know what kind of man you are now.
Manly?
Yes, manly.
Indeed. Thanks, sheep. Thanks for the call.
Pretty Pablo's call 200. I got two way catchers. Bye.
Hey, sheepy, you call number 200. Oh no, he hung up.
Well, I don't know. I miss the days of shopping and going to the stores that only serve, like H&M. I used to like. I think H&M is pretty standard all over the malls now. But like H&M, there
it's
was
the
a
new
while
hot topic.
I was getting bigger, and H&M was just like maybe 5 years ago. I was getting bigger, and I was just like, wait. They don't even sell sizes that, like, you know, people three sizes down from me wear.
Oh, for real? I used to love H&M because, like, when it came out, I was like, hey, it looks kind of good, but they're dirt cheap. It was like going to a dollar store and buying, like, all the H&M clothes.
Bruh, you and Keith have to shop at H&M and M now, both of you guys.
I guess I've changed, yeah. The extra M's gone horribly, horribly wrong for Brian.
The extra M is for meaty. You know? Plus, when you walk into those stores, they're so pretentious anyway that you're, like, the fat guy walking
Dude.
In.
Like, we have nothing for you here.
Dude, well, you hear about this. I've been having some, now that you mentioned about, like, weird and pretentious stores, I've got the freaking, like, meaty humdinger winner of this like, pretentious shop award. I've never been so floored
Did
by...
Did he say humdinger winger?
I think he just won the pretentious intro to a story award, too.
Sorry. I get excited.
Sorry, continue. So you're at Hot Topic.
Yes, I'm at Hot Topic. No, it's... You know what? It's funny because I hear you guys throw around the Hot Topic as like, the nightmare store scenario. You have no idea how badly the world has changed. And it's only recently come to my attention because this past week I've had to spend time in Soho. I was going back to work for the company that fired me. And I've been there all week. And... just down the street from that, on the corner of Broadway and Houston, a brand new store opened up. They gutted like this this big warehouse thing, and they finally plopped down. Soho is basically like a shopping mall now. Like it used to be an artist community where all the galleries were, some like mystical 30 years ago.
Yeah, I think at best 30 years ago.
And I mean, slowly, I suppose it's been changing. And by this point, it's basically a mall. Like it's Banana Republics and stuff like that, and lots of expensive joints. And I think like in March, so sometime just recently, because this is the first time I'm seeing it, they opened up a store there called Hollister. Now I'm sure you've seen these clothes around. You're familiar with the Hollister brand?
I'm not familiar with the Hollister brand.
You usually see them on like
really, Fred?
Not.
Wow. Usually see them.
What you? Am I?
Because I've been seeing them everywhere. They're everywhere. I mean, it's unmistakable.
It's like a new couple years now.
Abercrombie and Fitch type of thing.
Not only is it that type of thing, it's owned by that company. Okay. So it's almost exactly. It's a slightly different marketing schematic that I'll go into it in a moment. But that's the kind of people.
Is it like surfer clothes?
That's how they market it because Hollister is a town in like Southern California or something. Mm-hmm. And they do sort of market that whole beach aesthetic, but it's essentially the same freaking jeans and t-shirt with Hollister plastered all over it that you can get at American Eagle or whatever.
Old Navy or whatever.
Exactly. It's that. It's just a different freaking name, you know? But I had no idea, and that was my only experience or my only exposure to the Hollister brand was just the stupid people wearing their stupid clothes. It just seemed like another one of those things. And then I freaking saw this Hollister store in the corner of Houston and Broadway. If anyone in the sound of my voice ever has the opportunity to experience like some sort of obnoxious, wants to experience something obnoxious in New York City, head down there right now. It is ridiculous.
Did they knock down the Angelica Theater? Not to get too local.
It's a block away from the Angelica Theater. It's right in the middle of there. And if you're familiar with, like, you know, it used to be a relatively nice theater, and it was in a part of town that's really interesting. Now, you walk by this store, it's a pretty populated corner. It's very busy. There's clods of people around all the time. And the first thing you notice, even before you turn the corner you can smell. Like, they must be pumping out their brand of, like, aftershave or whatever their perfume cologne is out into the air because you're almost immediately overwhelmed by this smell. And it's kind of like – it's like someone with a hangover has been drinking too much, has been eating a lot of candy, and they're burping in your face. It's just, like, this really sweet sensation with a – back of like beer or alcohol or something. It's really nasty. And then you start getting closer and your hair starts curling up about it because it's just – it's sticking on you. Like you can feel it. It's so thick with it. They must be pumping it out into the street for this reason, so it's going to attract you in there. And then, like, you notice that there's these two guys that are standing out in front of the store naked. They're essentially naked. They're dressed up as lifeguards. And they're maybe, like, 20 years old, and they're, like, just impossibly modeled, like, picture-perfect gorgeous.
Wait, these are real guys or mannequins?
Actual people.
Okay.
Basically being mannequins that live and breathe, sitting out in front of the store.
It's fun.
Like Buckingham Palace guards or something?
Yes, essentially. That's essentially what it is. But they move and they talk and stuff like that. And they have their noses coated with that stupid white crap that lifeguards have. And they act like lifeguards. They're wearing
the wacky surfer look?
Yeah. Except it's not wacky. Like they're wearing no shirts. And the shorts, the orange lifeguard shorts that they're wearing, are pulled down basically around their ankles. Like, you can see their ass hanging out of their stuff. And, like, they're shaved down, you know, like they're glistening like they've come out like some sort of photo shoot. And they just sit there and kind of, like, they're a photo op. Like, they flirt with girls who walk by or with guys who walk by.
So how many pictures did you take with them?
I got no pictures, but it made me want to go in there. And after, like...
That made you want to go in there? No one had told me to run.
Well, it seemed like a nightmare experience, and I had to have it.
He recognized one of the guys from the Russian bathhouse.
Yeah, exactly. No, these were svelte young gentlemen. Just impossible to achieve. Like, you would look at that, and Fred, would even look at that and say, there's just no, that's not ever going to happen for me. I'm never going to look like that. I never have looked like that. It's just not an achievable thing.
Don't remind me.
And then you take a step foot into their little, like, palace, and you see there's, like, three girls in there that are dressed up with basically no bathing suits and kind of a shirt that's not on and not off, but I mean their ass is hanging out of their bathing suits. And these again are like 20-year-old impossibly hot model chicks.
See, that would make me want to go in, not the smell and the two dudes in the swimsuits. That's not going to attract me.
But it's weird. It's like,
well, you know what, you're pointing out something we addressed earlier. You're the guy that wants to go to the strip club. Brian's the guy that sees something intriguing and odd, and it's like, I have to go in there. I'd have to say I'd be more with him, you know, like those two weirdo guys. I think I'd be more likely to think, you know.
It's
like
a bizarre thing. It's naked guys standing out on a street in the middle of Manhattan and kind of like flirting with each other. I don't really know how else to put it. And you go in there, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. They have populated the inside of this store with a whole bunch of these guys. And like different guys who are dressed in different ways that are hanging out, and the girls all have bathing suits. And you know how like that old annoying Gap experience, you'd walk in and they'd greet you and say hello? They don't do that. They're not there to help you find out where the clothing is. They're there to like look good and date each other.
Basically,
that's it.
They are there to recreate the club experience for the average person. You're walking into this obnoxious place with this, and you haven't gotten to this, I don't know if it's loud, blaring music, and people that don't want to know you and don't want to look at you, that unfortunately are the people you need to ask for help.
Yes.
It's horrible radio pop music that no one actually likes, but for some reason is wildly popular, and it's blaring. It is just screaming at you through every corner of every part of this, and they've gutted the inside of this warehouse. They've taken three floors of this warehouse. They've ripped out all the floors and all the ceilings, so it's a big open space. And they built in five floors of this sort of manufactured maze of a house. There's no rhyme or reason. There's no organization to it. It's just tiny little cramped, impossibly dark. Like, there's no lights on in there. Like, you're stumbling around, bumping into crap, and you walk into a room and you realize, oh, there's clothes here, because you're now, like, you've run into a table or something, and you've tripped over
it. And did you ask for any help at all?
I didn't ask for help because I was there to see, and you go into these, and it's cramped as hell, and the ceilings are, it still feels low because I kind of feel too tall to be in there, and I'm constantly ducking because I think you're going to hit my head on the beam that's above me, and they've made it try to be like some sort of pier. It looks like I'm walking around like a pier that has five levels on it somehow, impossibly. And you walk into a room and there's guys hanging out in lifeguard shorts and girls basically wearing nothing, who you would think would be folding clothes or pointing you somewhere, but they're just like texting each other.
Additionally,
like, twittering.
Wait a second, I think I want to work there. Too bad I don't have the body. Do you think that there's maybe, though, like, is there other sales clerks that you just didn't see, and these people are specifically there to create, you know, atmosphere or something?
There were when I walked in, I saw that there were some women there that weren't naked, but I saw that they had Hollister gear all over them, and I was like, oh, they must work here. That was a customer. They just, like, all the customers that are there are all wearing their head to toe in freaking Hollister gear. And then, like, I went to another one that was wearing the same exact thing, and I'm like, oh, these customers just all buy the same stuff. No, this guy actually worked there. And I could tell because he walked into a secret little back area that I didn't know was a back area. So I followed him in to go kind of see what it was. I was now behind the curtain. I'm like in the stock room. I knew that because there were lights on there and I could see everything. And it was there's just a very weird situation going on here. It doesn't seem like anyone's really selling anything. I didn't see lines or anywhere where people were. I didn't see cash registers.
You think it's the biggest drug front in history?
I have like no idea. I walked around. I swear. I mean, I walked around for as long as I could tolerate in there, which, granted, wasn't a lot of time. But I made my way through there quickly and kind of like ran. I did the loop looking for everything. I couldn't find cash registers. I couldn't see people buying things. It was just like people were walking around dating each other. And
were there other gawkers there? Or like people staring or just visiting? Like I would assume, because Soho now has, like, granted it doesn't have as many tourists as, like, say, Midtown Manhattan or like the downtown, all the way downtown area, but Soho definitely has, like, a lot of tourists now. I think maybe that's, like, a thing. I don't know. I gotta say, the only thing I know about Hollister is that they opened one in the Staten Island Mall, of all places, like 2 years ago.
Does it look anything like I've described,
well,
or is it a
regular
store?
I've never gone in it, but I thought it was a restaurant at first, because there's no mention of what it actually is. Like, there's no, the words Hollister, as far as I recall, are not anywhere. But I walk by the store, and it's dark in there, as he said, but there's no windows in the one in the mall. It's basically boarded up, you know. It's like you kind of like maybe like a surf shop or something. And the entrance, when you walk in, there's a bench. There's, you see, like, sort of this dark, like, club atmosphere coming from it. But you have to go either all the way left or all the way right to get into the store. So all you kind of see is, like, surf mannequins. That's why I asked if they were mannequins. Mannequins and, like, music and, like, darkness. So I always thought it was a restaurant because I would see people sitting out there.
You're kind of describing
a hip new Applebee's or something.
You're describing this store, just less of it. And like, it was that thing, just not as much of an explosion of that freaking nightmare.
And I asked someone that I work with, I was like, what is that restaurant over there? And he's like, no, that's Hollister. It's a store.
Awful.
And I was just like, but so there's like gawkers there. Like, people are coming to
people
look,
will
like,
come in. It's a tourist trap now. People come in there because of the naked guys that are sitting out there. They'll come in and they'll, ooh, naked girls. And they'll start talking to them. And like, Europeans are there with their cameras. And like, people are taking pictures next to the people who are working or not working there. I actually saw someone steal it. I saw a shoplifter. I watched a person shoplifting something. At first, I thought it was a person actually working. Like, they were dressing the model or, like, doing something in the stack. She was using the little mannequin model to hide stuffing shirts and pants by, like maybe a half dozen jeans went into this big-ass bag.
Did she get away with it?
I didn't tell on her. It's so dark in there. I bet you that happens all the time.
Sure.
Like, I don't see how the cameras would pick up on it. Maybe if they're infrared or something. Like, it would be really easy to rob that place blind.
It sounds like a horrible shopping experience.
It's a horrible experience. I can't believe. I didn't think that there would, that shopping could get any worse, and it seems like it has. Have you guys had a, like, shopping experience that?
Bang Bang. There was a store called Bang Bang.
What?
I don't know if anyone's familiar with Bang Bang, but.
Isn't it a girl store?
Oh, Bang Bang. I used to go to Bang Bang.
No. Bang Bang. Yeah. Bang Bang.
You guys get your bras
there? Shop
there
all the time.
All quiet, and I'm like, hey, I used to go to Bang Bang.
Yeah, it's Bang Bang. You walk in, and it's just like, it used to be like techno music blasting, and like. They sold this odd mixture of like, it wasn't full on goth clothing, but it was more of like, you know, the the leather end of it, you know what I mean? Like the leather pants and stuff like that. And then they had some like nice suits that were a little like, you know, trendy. But like, yeah, I used to, but Bang Bang was so obnoxious because there's music blasting and the music was so bad and like just this bad, loud, corny techno. And I would just feel stupid being in there. It was just like people look at me and think like that's my whole scene.
Sure, yeah.
Just because I'm standing in this store. You know what I mean? Like,
well, they're judging you right off the bat. You walk in and be like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I might as well just bounce my head up and down. Like, yeah, this is my scene, everybody. You know, like, because that's what you look like when you're in there. And you know those stores are those trendy stores because they're divided basically 80% to 20% women's clothing to men's.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, there's more women clothes.
Oh, yeah.
This is one of those stores that I couldn't really kind of tell. Like, you don't know where the women... I mean, you can't see any clothes, first of all, but you couldn't tell what was men and what was
women. They, like, jam all the girls' clothes, like, right by the register. You see standing in line, and you got all these, like, women's clothes around you, and you got to go through the women's clothes to get to the guys' back, the guys' changing rooms. Like, they really hook it up, you know what I'm saying?
I'll tell you what I hate, where I hate to go into the Mac store. And have these Mac have these Macintosh geniuses come up to you and tell you about the computers.
Makeup store, the Mac.
The Apple store, wherever the hell it's called. That Apple store is the worst place in the world.
Dude, the Genius Bar.
Oh, dude, I'll slap a genius.
What do they start? Do they address you? Because again, I went into the one in the Staten Island Mall, and maybe it's a Staten Island thing, but nobody looks at you. Everyone just kind of puts their head down, like, oh,
yeah. You got to make an appointment for the Genius Bar. You can't see a genius that day. You go and you make an appointment, then you go back the next day.
That's how pretentious they are. That's how pretentious they are. You can't even get them the first time around. You have to come back a second time to get them. They are the worst.
Oh.
Wow. I hate shopping there. Hate it. They just make you feel like you're an idiot, too. Oh, you don't know about this? This is the 3 gig instead of the 5 gig? Yeah, I'm Brian. You know? It's horrible. Horrible. It's just like 17 Brians behind the counter. One is enough.
I never really thought any of those geniuses were all that genius-like.
I bet their IQs are way below genius level, Brian. I'm going to bet on it.
I've gotten help from them. I've had one of those geniuses replace one of my iPods without any questions.
Really?
I mean, I broke it. It was clearly... I spilled a drink on it, and I brought it back and returned it. I didn't even buy it there.
Much of a genius, then. He gave you a new one.
They were supposed to charge me, like, $30 restocking fee. They didn't even charge me that.
He can only count to 22, the kids.
He's an Apple retard.
But I did... I mean, I hate jumping through the Apple hoops. I hate making an appointment. I hate having to talk to the guy on level one clipboard who's going to send me to the girl on the second floor clipboard who's going to point me to the right genius. And I can't even talk to the genius till my name comes up
the
on a screen
genius.
And
just
says, oh, it's your
you
turn.
Have to call them the genius is just so idiotic. I hate it.
Well, I urge everyone, shop at hearustalk.spreadshirt.com. You don't have to deal with obnoxious salespeople. And maybe we'll get some shots of Fred with his shirt off and his...
I am a genius.
Surf shorts. And Brian is a genius. BestInShowRadio.com on Hear Us Talk. The thing you do with the ears and the place to be.
You're listening to Best in Show on HearUsTalk.com. The thing you do with your ears and the place to be.
My name is Kevin, and I'm one of over 1 million Americans who's a cancer survivor in their 20s or 30s. And one of nearly 70,000 young adults who are diagnosed with cancer every year. As a young adult, I found it hard to relate to the other survivors who were much older than me. All I wanted was to hang out with people my age who I could relate to. I felt like I was the only one going through this. Until I found the I'm Too Young for This Cancer Foundation, a global support community with an attitude just for survivors in their 20s and 30s. And finally, a place to fit in. I signed up at stupidcancer.com, and I was immediately connected to tens of thousands of other young adult survivors from all over the place, and a wealth of free programs, tools, and support resources. So, if you're the only one you know getting chemo without diapers or dentures, log on to stupidcancer.com and get connected with the next generation of cancer survivors in their 20s and 30s.
You're listening to Best in Show Radio on HearUsTalk.com. Join us every Friday night for The What Show.
Half of my bosses are women to begin with. I'm not working for men. Second of all,
thank you for...
I don't get anybody drinks. Nobody does that anymore.
All right, what are you getting, donuts, bagels?
No! Catering people come in and bring that in.
All right, you're planning meetings, you're taking notes, right?
I make sure the meeting runs. I make sure people stay on topic, stay on time.
Slave.
No. There's nobody there to make sure everything stays on topic. The meeting goes to shit. So I'm driving the meeting and making sure all the points are made.
At what point, though, do you rub his temples and feet?
Slave.
Never. Never.
Liar.
Can I tell you something? At least where I work, nobody would ever dare to ask me to get them coffee or to ask me to get them lunch. Like, I've done it for people.
Yeah. Ah, see, there you go.
I've offered. I've said, I'm running out for a coffee. Do you want one? No one ever say, like, go make me, go get me my coffee. Ever.
If you were a real man, your wife wouldn't have to work. So if you want to revert to the...
She doesn't have to work.
No, she does. She does because you want to eat lobster and fucking brag about it and call all your friends.
So good. You were saying that to just... get on the same page with him, right?
Yes.
That didn't have no, to do
exactly.
with me.
No, I'm just saying
you're
that
you're talking
to
Jeff in ways he can understand.
Yes, because he's all being right, ridiculous to Missy.
If that was to me,
and
I was
the point is,
hold on,
is if you want to pretend that you want to live in
a
society where Missy's a slave to men, then you are a half man because your wife has to go out and work. Mm-hmm. If you were a real man, you would support the household and she would be
support,
able to stay
I can support our household on my income.
No, you can't.
She wants to feel functional. Too bad you're eating. Habits
first of all,
of
I will.
Expenses.
She wants to feel functional.
First of all, I will.
And,
never,
and
I don't
doing,
feel functional. I have a job. You make it sound like I'm some fucking.
It's not
an,
a hobby.
I'm
not out feeding.
No,
I
understand
that.
But, and then you make it seem like it's retarded that they involve me in meetings, even
if
though I'm
this
just an assistant. But the reason they involve me in the meetings, even though I'm just an assistant, is because they value me as a part of.
The 3,000 years ago, Missy, you'd be building the pyramids.
Didn't the Jews build the pyramids?
The What Show is live every Friday night, 9:30 p.m. Eastern on HearUsTalk.com. The thing to do with your ears and the place to be.
It's Best in Show Radio on HearUsTalk.com. Like I just said, the thing to do with your ears and the place to be. I cringe 100 times during that show. I honestly do. The What Show is on Friday nights at 9:30 p.m. on Heroes Talk.
Irish Alfie, by the way, also a genius. The Jews did build the pyramids.
See? That's what you get geniuses with Heroes Talk. The What Show, who will be, like Best in Show Radio, like the DJ News Style Show, performing a little bit, not performing, but doing a little bit of a show, throwing a little show out there. September 5th, Saturday. Brian, did you verify the date?
Pretty sure.
Saturday, September 5th-ish.
It was the date that you said. I just don't know if it was the 5th.
Saturday, September 5th, 5 Spring Street. You should definitely come on down to the second annual Hear Us Talk Labor Day Bash. It's just going to be quite...
When is it starting, Keith?
It's starting at 5 p.m.
Nice.
I think the bar opens at 4, so I think if you really need a drink at 4 o'clock, hey.
Just come
you
down.
You should probably head on in.
The line will be long, though, so. I mean, don't expect to get served right at 4. You might have to
just come 8 in the morning. Come 8 in the morning, and you're guaranteed to be one of the first 250 people there. And as it was thrown out today, accepted on behalf of Ken my challenge to Germ Freak Frank of the DJ News Style Show, who accused me Tuesday night on their program of cheating at Scramble. I will challenge him in a live Scramble match. I'm even thinking of telling him, depending on who it is, I almost feel like he could have a partner, and I'll still beat him that way.
This I wouldn't get too cocky, pal. You'll be drinking ketchup by the end of the night.
No, I'm not agreeing to that. But I think I'll just leave it me versus him. That's probably a lot safer. And I'll probably just get my ass kicked, and now everyone will think I cheated Scramble.
That's great. I hope you do lose. Because if you lose, you definitely are a cheater.
Is that how it
Absolutely.
Is?
Absolutely. If you lose, you're a cheater.
That's what if you win, but we find out that you were cheating? Like you got to, you're not going to tell us how to prove that someone cheats, right?
Maybe I'll reveal the secret afterwards. I'll reveal the secret there. I don't want to tell people how to cheat.
He's
Put
cheating.
It this way: the way to cheat in that setting, neither of us would be able to cheat.
Okay,
basically,
good.
I'll tell you the way to cheat on Scramble, and I figured it out. Actually, my girlfriend figured it out because somebody that she plays all the time. She's like, "This person's definitely cheating," and I was like, "Well, how? How could you cheat at Scramble? It's a 3-minute timer." And basically, she said, well, this is what you do. On the hottest of all lines, who's joining us?
Yeah, this is a gentleman by the name of Germ Freak.
Uh-oh.
Hello, sir. How are you?
You got a little beef, my friend?
Apparently someone does. Apparently someone has a beef. Apparently somebody does not respect... No, it's fine. Somebody does not respect my Scramble skills.
I think there's some shenanigans going on. I think there's something called Facebook cheats that's in your repertoire.
I've only heard of Facebook cheats when I heard you mention it on your program, which is the DJ New Style Show live Tuesday nights on HeroesTalk.com. But I never actually cheated. I do know a way to cheat. I'm going to let you in on it right now, my friend. The way to cheat, and I don't do it, but the way to cheat is you take a picture or write down the board somehow and then pause the game. And then what you can do is figure out all the words. If it's really worth it to you, and it apparently is to some people, you can figure out all the words and then unpause the game and go back on. Now,
I was not aware that the game could be paused. I didn't see a pause button.
It doesn't. The one you accused me of cheating at, where you just basically get your general score, you know, not going up against anyone, you cannot pause it on that one. So if there's ways to cheat in that one, I'm blown away.
So you're saying that if you were to challenge me to a match, then I could cheat.
If I was to challenge you to a match, you could cheat. But the thing is, you can tell when somebody's cheating because you can see they're online on Facebook. You can see in the Facebook, in the scramble matchup that they just began their game. And you'll see that, like, that 25 minutes later, exactly, they're still dirt.
You seem to know a lot about this, though. That's my problem is. I mean, you know all the ins and outs. You know, what's going on here?
He has a point, Keith.
I don't know all of them. You know what?
A genius.
My confidence. Right there you go. It's the Heroes Talk Genius Party. You know what? I'm confident. I'm confident in myself that I do not cheat. I know I do not cheat, so I don't mind sharing these secrets with you. Cheating on that other one that you think I cheated on, I don't know how you could possibly cheat on that. I'm certainly not paying. Did you say you said it was like $20 to sign up?
Yeah. What happened was when you go on Facebook. Listen, I'm not going to lie. I went on Facebook Cheat to see what you were getting, you know, for your money. So I went on Facebook Cheat, and what they do is they essentially they give you an empty grid, and you have to fill in the grid with all the letters that are on the box, and then they'll automatically come up with as many words as they can. The computer will come up with as many words as they can with those combinations.
I don't. Yeah, I've never heard of that.
Oh, they got a computer doing the work for it.
Well, Germ, how much more points is Keith getting than you? Where you think
Keith
he's cheating?
Listen, I'm not going to sit here and brag. Mm-hmm. I'm pitiful at it. I have 83 points, whereas Mr. Keith has 215.
Yeah, he must be cheating. He's not that smart. I know him. He's not that smart, Jeremy.
I know people who are playing that who have PhDs who can't even break 100, for Christ's sake.
Well, I will say this much. There are secrets. There are secrets that are not cheating. There's ways to play. Now, obviously, I would like to personally hear you accept, but before we get to that, if you are going to, I'm not going to give them away yet. But there are key things to do, to look for, that will help you get a higher score. But let me ask you this, Germ Freak, will you accept my challenge to a live Labor Day scramble off?
With conditions. You recognize that this scramble game recognizes words that neither of us have never heard of, correct?
The majority of the words, I doubt. I don't know about you, but I know I've never heard of the majority of the words.
Really?
Yeah, it's insane.
Is this going to be a made-up game of scramble or a Facebook game of scramble? I don't want to be playing and making up the Hebrew names, for Christ's sake.
Well, what about, I thought we were just going to go for the...
What if we just have somebody... get four rows of four columns of letters, and we just got to come up with as many words as we can.
I don't know if that's scramble, right? You know what?
Is it the same? I don't understand. How do you mean?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, so you won't be able to move the thing around.
You should be able to have an actual one-on-one Facebook challenge, two laptops.
We can do two laptops. I can challenge you to a game of scramble.
But
your
it
terms?
Won't be the same game, though.
I
won't have the same board as you.
If I challenge you to a game and we both do, say, round one, we will be starting at the same time and have the exact same board with the same words.
How can we have the same board? That's what I'm
because
confused
if you challenge someone to a game, if you challenge
I see what you're saying. Okay, yeah. Listen, first of all, if I accept this, I want these little hints that you're so well aware of.
I don't know. That's asking a lot, man.
Keith, you want your secrets?
I mean, I can see if we discover your little hints, Keith, are cheating. I can see. You know, Germ Freak wins by default.
I know there's
default.
Things you could do to play faster. For example. Hitting the enter every time will is no good. You could actually, you know, like drag the mouse across the letters. Isn't that correct?
Yes, that's how I play. I don't I don't type. I just I click the mouse and drag the letters.
But, oh, which means you what, can you get wrong answers? What if you drag the wrong letters that don't make
you just
the word?
Don't get anything.
Oh, so you but can just drag your cursor around yeah, it all
you have,
day long.
You, but you have a timer. You have 3 minutes, so there's only so much.
I have
you can
no
do.
Problem challenging you. However, I want words that are American words.
Well, I mean, we both. I don't know. I mean, unless the developer of Scrabble is going to help.
Germ Freak, give
yet.
Us some example of American words that you would like in the,
well,
in the Scrabble.
They
give
have
us some
words,
examples.
You know the word dame, D-A-M-E?
Yeah, Dame Judi Dench.
That was not recognized in Scrabble.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah,
but yet a word like H-I-Y is recognized, whatever the fuck that is.
It's high.
H-I-Y?
Fred is H-I-Y right now.
He's HIY positive, actually.
I've never heard of that word. That doesn't exist.
No, there's a lot of words that you just look at it and you're like, how is that a word? I don't understand. And then you do something that you think is a word, and it's just not. But the thing is, we would be at the same disadvantage, and there's enough good, solid, old-fashioned, flag-waving American words for us to get in a game, I'm sure, you know.
I will accept the challenge. However, I don't – any words that are not recognized by the common American – will be disqualified.
We'll throw it out
to
a vote.
Count.
We'll have a vote, live vote, and whoever we could either, you know, we'll let the audience decide to throw it out.
I don't know about that, man. I mean, if the rules are Facebook Scramble, I mean, you've laid down a gauntlet here. You've called my friend here a cheat, and just because the game doesn't is recognizing.
If it walks like a duck and talks like a duck, my friend, you know what it is.
He shouldn't be penalized for the creative uses of the game's word. If you're not going out there and if you're limiting yourself to only Americanized words, then I mean that's not him cheating. That's you're cheating yourself, pal.
I see.
So
I'm gonna accept your challenge.
Nice.
Wow. He's a
and
bold
I'm gonna mop the floor with you.
If I win, will you kiss me on the lips? Congratulations.
I will not kiss you. I will kiss you on the cheek, but not the lips.
Really?
Ooh, yes. That's good.
What will you do, Keith, if you lose?
I don't know. I don't know what that means to him. I don't know what that means.
What would you, Frank, what would you, or Germ Freak, I'm sorry, what would you want Keith to
I
do
I want
for
him
you?
To get down on his knees and kiss my ass.
Really? You want someone to kiss your ass?
Yes.
That's comparable to kissing me on the cheek. I do watch my face every now and again.
No. It doesn't have to be. We don't have to, you know, do anything. It's just for props. You know what I'm
okay.
saying? Just props.
So this is a pride battle. Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate you accepting. And I guess September 5th, that's Sweet and Vicious. We're
gonna
see
going
to see who's
down,
the Scramble champion.
So we're going to have Scramble. It's going to be exciting.
Keith, how are you going to cheat to win?
Oh, I know the guy that created Scramble.
Yeah, okay, nice.
He's going to fill it up with all the Jewish words.
I only scored 215. Either that, or I'm just going to lick my fingers and rub them all over his computer first.
It seems obvious. You're just, I mean, from what Germ Freak just described, all you're going to do, you don't care what words are there. You're just going to wipe your cursor all around madly as quickly as you can and hope that some words crap out of
Absolutely,
it.
Absolutely, bro.
That's how you do
That's
it.
That's how I would do it. The fastest person to just click is going to be the winner.
Right. It's not about typing. If I don't have to sit there and actually come up with the words and see them and type them, then I'm just going to wipe them as quickly as I can.
Sure.
And I'll get 250.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you do get a lot of words that you think, like, wow, really? But at that point, I mean, look, there's ways that, like, I'll throw out one little hint. It's going to be one word. It's going to be a one-word hint. He can do what he wants to with it. All I'm going to say is clusters. And I think that's a pretty huge hint, in my own opinion.
It's an American word.
Yes. Just find the word clusters and keep entering it. There's a flaw in the game, and you can keep scoring.
Freedom better be a word in there. That's an American word.
You know, we know my cousin.
Wrong! You lose!
Your cousin Michael?
My cousin Michael. No, he wasn't my cousin. No, I can't remember who it was. No, it wasn't my cousin. Somebody had like a really high score on in Scramble. Like, there's people that have like over 300. You know what I mean?
Bourgeoisie definitely has over 300 score.
Does he?
Yeah. Bourgeoisie, really? He's smart like that. Definitely.
Because I know, like my girlfriend mops the floor with me every time, for the most part. You know what I mean? And, mm-hmm. And I used to wonder, how the hell does she do this? And I initially thought Frank was accusing me of cheating because he thought, he did say he thinks I have a crowd of people around me, writing down words. So that's why I figured the one-on-one.
This word.
You know, the one-on-one challenge.
Hi-yi, it's right there. I can see it. Hi-yi.
L'chaim.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's going to be fun.
He can't be right. H-I-Y. That's not a word.
No, that's definitely. No, it's a Japanese word.
I'm telling you, he's right, because you will be shocked at some of the words. And the dictionary they use, it's not Merriam-Webster's. It's not Roger. It's not any of the major dictionaries.
It's Martian. Is it the Scrabble dictionary?
I don't think it's the same as the Scrabble dictionary. There's a word. I wish I could remember the word. Okay. You know the phrase tit for tat? Okay. Oh, those are real words, I think, right?
Yeah, it's a real word.
Really? Really? That's really it?
Come on! I thought it was funny.
I'm just not even his comment. Just the two of you legitimately sitting here giggling like idiots because I said tit. That's what we're at this point.
It's a funny word. It's funny.
So you use the word tat?
Did
you
use the word tat? Tit's okay, but I use the word tat. And...
It's the past tense.
And he's word tat. And the word tat doesn't come up. I'm pretty sure it's the word tat or something that doesn't come up, and I just get angry every time.
Tit then, works, but tat doesn't.
Tit works.
T-A-T-E or T-A-T?
T-A-T.
Okay.
Not tate. That would be a different word, actually. But yeah, so I don't know. It's going to be good. We have challenges falling all over the place here.
It's going to be great.
We're going to have music. We're going to have, I think I can call it out now. I think we're going to have Agent Strange, and we're going to have The Humans so far. We're going to have other musical guests, perhaps. I believe so, but I'm not sure yet. Those I don't want to call out yet. But
maybe we'll sing at the end of it.
You'll never walk alone, Brian. You'll never sing alone, Brian. And we're going to have live shows. It's going to be live. It's going to be better than last year's, because last year's was Best in Show Radio, although we did get performances by our co-workers, I guess.
Cohorts.
Our cohorts.
Best in Show, yeah. Hear Us Talk,
And we did get DJ New Style and Germany, but this is going to be a full-on Hear Us Talk party.
There's an outdoors.
Yeah, it's going to be a barbecue.
So there's an actual barbecue going to be there?
Yeah, unfortunately, there is an outdoors there. That's really not a big thing. Mostly indoors, though. We're mostly indoors, so that's good.
Brian, pajamas that day? Or you think you're going to wear...
Maybe. Maybe I'll wear them underneath.
Fred, you going to match your wife?
Yes, we're definitely going to have matching. Maybe we should wear the same outfits we wear to this wedding. We'll wear the dress. She'll wear the dress, and I'll wear my suit with the matching tie.
Why don't you switch it around? Why don't you wear the dress?
I'll never fit in that dress.
I may have to match my girlfriend now, you son of a bitch.
I'll definitely match now that you say it. Definitely.
So we're looking to broadcast. If everything works out with the internet connection there, we're definitely looking to to broadcast it live on Hear Us Talk.
Don't hold us to that.
But you better come anyway, because it may not be broadcast.
Yeah, and I think every Hear Us Talk member is going to be there. Every show and everybody, I'm pretty sure.
Shows that aren't currently broadcasting live will still be included. Nice. Yes, that's right. Veal Chop and Tony of the Awful Hour will be sitting in with the DJ New Style program. That's Ken and Frank.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be a big party, and I'm very excited. I think I'm shaking.
Do you know what we're doing yet? For this big Labor Day bash?
Fred, remember I told you about your on-the-air voice and your off-the-air voice? I think you got it. You know which one to go to now.
I do.
So I don't know.
I'm excited for it. I'm equally as excited this time. Now that we don't have tans, that you don't have to go into all disgustingly like last year. We got those fake tans. That was the worst. So at least we'll be a little bit comfortable. I just hope it doesn't rain, and I hope it's just not hot as hell that day. That's the only two things that I hope doesn't happen.
Well, I don't know. I'm going to go with the Snow White look this year. I like the True Blood vampire look. So I'm
going to do powder and eyeliner.
And by the way, the whole cast of True Blood will be there performing.
Nice.
And performing You'll Never Walk Alone.
And next week, we may or may not have a Best in Show Pride on Thursday. We're still working that out. The next time you may hear us is on Saturday. The 5th.
Sweet. The 5th. Saturday the 5th. That was confirmed.
Yes.
We're going to try to figure that out. But we're going to hope to be there. We'll let you know. You know what you do? HearUsTalk.com/forum or RadioBronzeFans.com.
I'm excited, man.
That's where you find out everything. I'm excited. that it's time to go. I'm not. I hate the end of the show, but what the hell can you do? It's Best in Show Radio on HearUsTalk.com, to think to do with your ears. And the place to be tomorrow night, that's Friday night. That's every Friday night. It's the What Show, 9:30 p.m. Tuesday nights, it's the DJ New Style Show at 9 p.m. And it's Best in Show Radio, 8 p.m. Once again, Sweet and Vicious, September 5th, 5 p.m., the second annual Labor Day event. Guys, you want to add anything else?
No, I'm good, Keith, man.
Thanks, Vanessa.
Thank you, Sheepy. Thank you, Germ Freak. Ken from New Jersey.
Chaz
the Dazzler.
Chaz the Pier. It's Best in Show Radio.
Keep it flowing, Chaz.
And we'll see you next time. Cocky socks, steamroller, roll over your face.
Talk radio, broadcast on the internet. This is HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be.